Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome and thank you so much for joining us today. We are live. It is the 17th day, Tuesday, the 17th of February, 2009. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. And I am going to open the phones up throughout this entire first hour, the second hour. Then in the third hour, we have the writer who broke the story dealing with mass graves, FEMA camps, martial law, preparations by FEMA in the Illinois, Chicago suburbs area. Very informative, former Special Forces officer who did some of the research on it and, of course, got the interview and then confirmed the interview with the county official. We're not bringing out his name. He was concerned about this that we covered last Friday and on the Sunday show. He'll be joining us again today in 2 hours. But we are going to be taking your calls on states' rights, trying to get a bigger buzz going about the states saying no to the federal takeover, the feds themselves taken over by the globalists. If you heard that historic Coast to Coast AM radio show last night, want to comment on that, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to discuss what's happening with the economy, gold is above $970 an ounce. It's up over $30 today from just yesterday. We'll be going over the economy. Stock markets worldwide plunged in early trading. We'll be tracking that as well today. And I've got tons of energy. I had a very long day yesterday. Worked from 8 a.m. until 4:30 the next day today. But I will lean somewhat on the callers today because I know later, by the third or fourth hour, I'm going to be completely shot from past experience. So we will take a lot of your phone calls today. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. And I'll open the phones up in the next segment. Obama's Justice Department standing by George Bush's secrecy. This being reported by Reuters and Raw Story and others. In the primary election battle between the Senators Obama and Clinton, few opportunities were spared for sniping between the campaigns. One, solid jibe from President Obama campaign manager chided Hillary for excesses in George W. Bush's secrecy. The exact quote went, "What the American people don't need is more George Bush secrecy in the White House." Uttered Friday, March 7, 2008. Regardless of what his manager felt the American people did or did not need, George W. Bush's secrecy is increasingly what they're getting. In a Monday report, the Associated Press notes that President Obama's Department of Justice has already sided with half a dozen Bush administration claims of secrecy over spying and interrogations. That means torture. We'll go over that. Ex-MI5 boss says government exploits terrorism fear to take people's liberties in England, and that's absolutely true. That's absolutely accurate. Because England passed the law yesterday that photographing the police is an act of terrorism punishable by giant fines and 10 years in prison. And people say, oh, don't worry, they won't harass you photographing. Folks, I know people all over England, including the Watson brothers, who webmaster and write for Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.net. They have been questioned, interrogated. When I was in England, I was interrogated, videotaping outside Parliament. I mean, who wouldn't stand there and videotape Parliament? They were harassing all the tourists. So they're training you to be complete slaves. We'll get into that as well. A lot of other financial news today. Again, I'm Alex Jones, and this is the GCN Radio Network. Don't forget PrisonPlanet.tv.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Coming up in 1 hour and 51 minutes, D.H. Williams with the Daily Newscaster. Inside source reveals FEMA and DHS preparing for mass graves and martial law outside Chicago. That is coming up. A very informative individual in the third hour today. I mentioned some of the news in the last segment we're going to be going over, but here's some of the other important information. Israel launches covert war against Iran. Israel has launched a covert war against Iran as an alternative to direct military strikes against Tehran's nuclear program. U.S. intelligence sources have revealed it is using hitmen, sabotage, front companies, and double agents to disrupt the regime's illicit weapons project, the experts say. The Telegraph reporting that the illicit weapons program exists when the U.N. has inspectors there saying it doesn't. Now, this is nothing new. Remember 5 years ago, we began reporting that a year after that, Cy Hirsch with New Yorker Magazine confirmed, and then about 2 years ago, the Bush administration, WhiteHouse.gov, put out a press release admitting that four Wahhabist groups, that's the most extreme sect of the Sunni religion, the majority, 82%, according to the Encyclopedia of the World's Population, are the Sunni Muslims. And the Wahhabists are based out of Saudi Arabia. Supposedly the group Al-Qaeda comes from. Four Wahhabist groups, and then another Kurd group, but four of them Wahhabist, including the number three in Al-Qaeda, launching terror attacks against dams, police stations, military installations, sabotage of factories. I mean, the list goes on and on. And Iran has laid back and taken it. Iran has gone along with it all. They have taken it. These probes to stir them up and get them to have more intense rhetoric or to launch some type of military attack into Iraq. Poking them in the nose, hitting them over the head with a baseball bat, trying to get the bull to go hog wild, to go on a rampage. And this news hasn't gotten the attention it deserves. I mean, we're supposedly fighting Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, fighting Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And remember how George Bush got up about 2 years ago with Mohammad Karzai, the puppet dictator of Afghanistan, really the mayor of Kabul, the former Unocol executive, who's a total globalist, and they were in a press conference at the Rose Garden, and Bush said, we've got to go against Iran. There's video of this. We played it. You can pull it up. Just Google Mohammad Karzai sets Bush straight or contradicts Bush. In fact, John, will you go YouTube that? Mohammad Karzai sets Bush straight or Mohammad Karzai disagrees with Bush or something like that will come up. Going from memory 2 years ago. And Bush says, yeah, Iran is funding Al-Qaeda and funding the Taliban in Afghanistan. And Karzai just looked like he'd seen a ghost or was a deer in the headlights. And he said, like somebody jumped out and scared him. He said, Mr. President, respectfully, sir, Iran is historically against Al-Qaeda, and they're not actually helping us in Afghanistan. They're actually, you know, arresting anybody on their borders that tries to come in. Because it's true, Iran is a Shiite religious dictatorship. 18% roughly of the Muslims are Shiite. They believe you have to be, you know, related to Muhammad to be an imam or whatever. The other group doesn't. But side issue, Bush and his people know, the American people don't know Al-Qaeda from Al-Shmaida. They don't have any idea. And so they got up there and said that Shiite Iran was backing their arch enemy, Saudi Arabian Wahhabist. I mean, it is utterly ridiculous. And he said, Mr. President, respectfully, Iran is actually helping us. You're mistaken, because he knew how ridiculous that was to 100 million Muslims worldwide who do know. This is like saying the Dallas Cowboys are the Washington, D.C. Redskins. This is like telling a football fan on Super Bowl Sunday that the Dallas Cowboys are the Redskins or the Chargers. No, it's the Dallas Cowboys. This is like saying Santa Claus is Jesus to a Christian. I mean, Karzai was embarrassed. He was shocked. He said, no, opposite group. And then, but President Bush said, no, you're wrong. They are behind Al-Qaeda. And then McCain said it about a year and a half ago in Iraq, and that was a big scandal, and the media finally had to admit it wasn't true, that Al-Qaeda was Shiites. Just absolutely insane. But to Americans, they don't know. They've done polls where Americans think that countries like Indonesia are in the Middle East because they heard they're Muslim. And Bush isn't screwing up when he says this. He knows that the White House launched Al-Qaeda attacks against Iran. He knows that they used Muslim extremists. I mean, they used them against the Serbs twice, and then said the Serbs were attacking the Muslims and went in and took over. They used Muslim extremists to bring down Iran in 53. They've used Muslim extremists all over Africa to bring down nations. Israel has founded Al-Qaeda groups, according to Haaretz and Jerusalem Post, to mess up peace processes and use it as a pretext to attack peaceful crowds. It's a larger scale of police in Denver last year. Denver Post, the police admit it, attacking their own police dressed up like anarchists in front of news cameras as a pretext to crack people's heads and get more funding. It's a false flag attack, bottom line. So this is outrageous. And Israel boldly is admitting that they are staging terror attacks in Iran. This is nothing new. I mean, imagine, they're publicly admitting they have hitmen, sabotage groups, front companies, and double agents to disrupt the regime's illicit weapons project, the experts say. And Israel's openly announcing this, so it'll be in Iranian TV and news. And so there is public pressure of the Iranian people to fight back. That's why the globalists have blown up several Iranian jetliners to try to get them to fight. They're always trying to set them up. They kamikazed the Iraqis against them in that 8-year war. 1.5 million Iranians, conservatively, 340-something thousand dead Iraqis, nerve gas being used on both sides. Then the globalists say Saddam's bad because CIA advisors were there with the weather reports and the satellite images telling Saddam when to spray nerve gas and how to use it. I'm not saying Saddam's good using nerve gas. The point is, he was our hero. I remember my mother chopping up carrots in the mid-80s when I was in junior high and seeing the news saying Saddam was a hero, a secular hero who had women right to vote and, you know, women in college and not wearing the veils. And I remember that. And it's on record. You can go back to the newsreels, the microfiche, and you can read where he was the big hero, given tens of billions of dollars to attack Iran. I mean, this is disgusting how ignorant the American people are. So Israel launches covert war against Iran. Israel has launched a covert war against Iran as an alternative to direct military strikes against Tehran's nuclear program, U.S. intelligence sources have revealed. The most dramatic element of the decapitation program is the planned assassination of top figures involved in Iran's top operations. The assassination of leaders. Oh, we're in your country. We're going to kill your leaders. Hardcore act of war. And then Ahmadinejad will take the bait and say, if you do that, we'll wipe your state off the map. And then the media will say, for no reason, Ahmadinejad said he'd blow them up. How dare him? We're only blowing up their dams and shooting their police chiefs. Despite fears in Israel and the U.S. that Iran is approaching the point of no return in its ability to build an atomic bomb, Israel officials are aware of the change in mood in Washington since Barack Obama took office. That's not true. Now, here's another one. Going along with the program with propaganda, General Petraeus, Bloomberg, Iran is helping Taliban in Afghanistan, says Petraeus. So it's the same lie that we've been hearing over and over again. Meanwhile, real al-Qaeda is attacking Iran under White House orders, continuing under Obama. Iran is helping Taliban, their archenemy. I mean, the Sunnis and Shiites hate each other more than they hate, you know, other groups. Iran is helping Taliban insurgents in Afghanistan, and General David Petraeus, a congenital liar, I would add, who is in charge of U.S. forces in Central Asian nation of Iraq. There is a willingness to provide some degree of assistance to make the life of those who are trying to help the Afghan people difficult, Petraeus told a conference today in the Qatari capital, Doha. I mean, just a total lie on its face, but the public doesn't know where Afghanistan is. Petraeus gave no details of the Iranian assistance. Well, of course they don't. Which he described as taking the place of a small level. The U.S. said its allies are watching Iran's actions in Afghanistan very, very closely. He said, adding the Persian Gulf state continues to train and equip Shiite Muslim militias in neighboring Iraq. Well, that's true. Shiite, not the Taliban, hardcore Sunni. Oh, man, the lies just never end. Your calls are straight ahead after this quick break. We'll get into all the financial news as well. We're just here covering the facts, telling it like it is, no matter where the chips may fall, folks. We're just laying our cards on the table, and if you want to listen and take action, that's your business. Again.
We'll ride again.
Let's talk to Steve in Florida. Steve, you are on the air.
I am a Midwest farmer.
Thank you, Alex. It's great to talk to you.
Good to have you on board.
Well, I stayed up late last night with you, and just really, really proud of you and Coast to Coast for sticking their neck out. It was a great show.
Tens of millions of people heard us lay out that the United States has been fully taken over by foreign banks.
And you went all out, and I really appreciate it. I stayed up and listened to the whole thing, and I just have a comment. A lot going on in my mind, but I'm just going to try to relay some things to you and your listeners. You know, I don't know if people are feeling you right now, but things are really, really getting nuts, and I hope they are. I look forward to March 15th in a very big way. I hope it's a huge viral, massive response, and I hope Google just can't deny putting it up in its rightful position at the top on YouTube and Google Video to show what an abomination this really is. That's my comment. I just have a quick question for you, Alex, and it's kind of off topic, but hopefully not.
There is no topic, and we're talking about all issues.
Exactly. So piece this together for me, Alex, and thank you in advance. It's just a curiosity of mine in the grand scheme, whole puzzle of things. Who is currently and was Jimmy Carter in the role of executive continuity that has apparently been going on since the bankers took over in 1913? And I think that would be a great name for a film, by the way, executive continuity, kind of showing the baton pass or the dictatorship that we're under. But if you could answer that.
Well, I appreciate your call. Richard Nixon was no angel, and he was certainly corrupt, but Henry Kissinger's and others set him up to destroy him. And this has even come out in a lot of documents. Webster Tarpley's written about it, to weaken the presidency itself. They'd already killed Kennedy. They'd had their minion, LBJ. But they wanted to weaken the presidency itself in the eyes of the American people. Then they brought in Jimmy Carter after Gerald Ford and others, who literally was very, very ignorant about foreign affairs and a lot of other issues, and I believe overall meant well. And he'd been a submarine captain and been on Killer One, a nuclear physicist. Smart guy, but he was like a Woodrow Wilson they used, and they set up FEMA under that and started the true 100% dictatorship of the National Security Council through the National Security Act they had in 47. And so that's why you've seen the baton passed right through Reagan, George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and now Barack H. Obama, our illustrious president. Jesse in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex Jones, it is a pleasure to speak with you. I also listened to the historic show last night.
Well, thank you.
Real quickly, I'm first-time caller. I know we don't have to reach very far to find, for conspiracy theories, there's enough conspiracy fact to be able to call the tea kettle black. But I was just wondering if you noticed during the inauguration, we know that they always announce what they're going to do, and sometimes they do that in symbolism and doublespeak. And when Robertson delivered the inauguration oath,
they messed it up on purpose.
They messed it up on purpose. He didn't stutter or he was very purposeful, and he was so determined that he actually repeated the oath the wrong way. And I went ahead and looked up some of the words in the dictionary to see what maybe they were trying to say, and another definition for execute, which is one of the words that was misplaced in the sentence, which changes the meaning of it. To execute office of president also means to end office of president, and it may be that they're announcing that Obama will be the last president, and he will bring in the New World Order, North American Union, and end the office of the presidency.
No, I agree. He repeatedly said execute the office of the president, and then they gave the oath, quote, in secret, no media, but one White House pool photographer. But it was reported that he then didn't even swear in on a Bible the next time. So this is all symbolism, very important to these people.
Yeah, one other thing. Last night also they were announcing that many of the prominent historians, meaning the ones that are accepted, were all in favor of Abraham Lincoln being.
Yeah, they said he's the number one president, and George Washington's now number two, not number one.
And I'm not surprised because, I'm not surprised that all these young kids are falling for the communist Kool-Aid either, because after all, they were educated in a socialist education program.
And they're billing Obama as the Federalist, president who's going to bring in total federal control, because they know there's going to be a rebellion at the states. They've war-gamed all of this out. They're just counting on the people not resisting, and I think they've miscalculated. Good to hear from you. I appreciate your call. Mike, Frank, Jeff, Chris, many others. Long segment coming up. Financial news straight ahead. We are going right at the New World Order. You found it. The front lines of the info war as we wage war on corruption. Monday through Friday, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., we're here live, and it's a real pleasure to talk to so many great people, not just in the United States, but all over the four corners of this great globe as it hurtles through the deep darkness of space in the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. Are you up to the test of this one life to live? Will you control your own destiny? Or will you fall to the mind control of the New World Order? It's not the kill, folks. That's it. I mean, it's exciting to be fighting tyranny. It's exciting to live on the edge. It's exciting to not be a coward. It's thrilling to control your own mind. And that's why I love this intercourse we have every day together. We are in Congress. We are communicating. We are interfacing. And it's good to have you on board. Not behind me, but right beside me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, California to begin layoff proceedings today. And their basic pension funds are bankrupt. You thought the bankers would let you have your pension money? Of course they're going to steal it and stage this event. They're going to use your money to enslave you. After a frustrating holiday weekend that failed to yield the one vote needed to end California's budget stalemate, the state is poised to begin layoff proceedings for 20,000 government workers today. And they use this crisis to threaten everybody. Do what we say, pass all the bills we say, or no jobs. You know, pass the stimulus plan right now or there'll be a depression by next Monday. And then, oh, you passed it. Nobody had a chance to read it. Good. Now we'll sign it in 5 days. We'll take our time. In addition to the layoffs, the state also plans to halt all remaining public works projects, potentially putting thousands of construction workers out of jobs. We are dealing with a catastrophe of unbelievable proportions. Government loves crises, don't they? Bill Clinton's out today saying, pass global warming taxes or the earth will die. It's just, you will be destroyed. You will be destroyed if you don't do what we say. No, we will be enslaved if we do what they say. That's what history and the facts shows. Plus, we know these criminals' agenda. We are dealing with a catastrophe of unbelievable proportions. Yeah, it's called you, said Senator Alan Lowenthal, a Democrat from Long Beach and chairman of the Senate Transportation Committee. Senate leader Daryl Steinberg announced late Monday that lawmakers had failed to find a final vote in his chapter as Republicans refused to support tax increases. He called a session for Tuesday and said he would put the tax provisions of the budget proposal up for a vote even if they would not pass. Steinberg warned lawmakers to bring their toothbrushes, saying they would not leave until the vote was secured. One member, Steinberg said, one more member to put the interest of the state ahead of ideology and ahead of any concern, peripheral concern. The interest of the state, but they don't mean the state and the people. They mean the global crime syndicate that controls California. Like other states, California faces plunging tax revenue that has imperiled state services. You mean robbing and stealing and criminal activity of the state. The proposal put before lawmakers this weekend was negotiated by the person who says he wants to be a dictator like Hitler, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I added that part, and the foreseeable legislative leaders and appeared to have support of the required two-thirds majority in the state assembly. And it goes on. There's another financial news report, CNBC. That was out of AP. GM sales fall before deadline. GM shares fall before deadline for survival plan. The federal government will dictate it and dictate the workers and use them as an army of political minions. I mean, I feel for the workers, but they're just being now made to be kept creatures of the feds. Shares of General Motors fell 12% Tuesday as the automaker prepared to submit a new survival plan to the U.S. officials later in the day under the terms of the $13.4 billion government bailout. GM and smaller rival Chrysler have been seeking concessions from the United Auto Workers Union and their creditors to show how they can be made viable under the $17.4 billion federal loan package approved in December. You know, I got to say, Chrysler's really putting out some great cars the last few years. Too bad they're probably going under or to become some new globalist company, but really some great cars, a side issue. Both automakers face a Tuesday deadline. Yeah, I drive a Charger. Love it. Side issue. But automakers, great value, too, for the car you get. Both automakers face a Tuesday deadline to submit plans showing how they can cut costs and pay back the loans at a time when U.S. automaker sales are at a 27-year low. GM Chief Executive Rick Wagner is expected to hold a press conference later today. In other financial news, Smithfield to restructure pork group cut jobs. Now, folks, when the pork packing industry is laying people off, that's one of the cheapest meats, you know there's a problem because you wouldn't expect people to be eating less piggy when that's the cheapest meat out there, pound for pound, even cheaper than chicken. And they're laying off turkey, workers, turkey farm workers are laying off, poultry workers are laying off, beef workers. I mean, folks, you know there's a problem in the economy when people aren't even eating as much grocery store pork. Smithfield Foods announced a plan Tuesday to restructure its pork group that involves cutting the number of independent operating companies in the group to 3 from 7 and closing 6 plants. The group expects to cut a net of 1,800 jobs. And again, that's a small area, but it just shows across the service industry, across core industries like food production, there's a problem. The restructuring is expected to yield cost savings of about $55 million to fiscal 2010. Smithfield said it expects a pre-tax charge of $85 million tied to non-cash asset write-downs, that means money loss, in the fiscal third quarter, which ended February 1st. It also expects a one-time pre-tax charge, about $30 million, as a restructuring implementation over the next 3 quarters. Of course, these big companies are using the implosion of the economy to further vertically integrate meatpacking, which is now even destroying more and more of the family farms and ranches. New York factory activity hits record low. Another report about California numbers just came out record low. Factory activity in New York State fell to record low in February, with new orders and employment falling sharply as U.S. recession deepened, according to a survey on Tuesday from the Regional Central Bank. The New York Federal Reserve's Empire State Factory Index fell to -34.65, the lowest in the history of the index, which dates back to July 2001. It was down from January, already contractionary reading of -22.20. And it goes on to just say the forecast is going to drop from the current level to 36.5. Just unbelievable plunge there. And then we have this news for you. We're going to go back to your calls here in a few minutes. Gold hit 7-month high on economic woes. Gold hit a fresh 7-month high on Tuesday after weaker than expected U.S. manufacturing data fueled fears over the economic outlook, boosting investments in bullion as a safe store of value. Fears over deepening recession in Eastern Europe earlier in the session. Yeah, top economists are saying that's probably going to cause the final total crash, not just a sliding, slow let down into depression, let you down easy, but into a plunge. Fears over deepening recession in Eastern Europe earlier in the session sent the metal to record highs in a raft of currencies, including the euro, sterling, and South African rand, the Indian rupee, and the Canadian and Australian dollars. Spot gold rose 966. By the way, it's over that now. An ounce from 9.4090 in New York late Monday. Earlier, it touched a 9.7090 announced. It's firmest since July 22nd, U.S. gold futures for April delivery of the COMEX division of the New York Mercantile Exchange rose $26.90 to over $966 an ounce, having earlier touched a high of $968.40. We're seeing complete risk aversion with equity selling off and the dollar rising. So the dollar's rising and gold is plunging. Because, see, the globalists have given the world an offer they can't refuse. They say, yeah, we're printing tons of dollars. Yeah, we're destroying the economy. But you're all holding so many dollars, it's a suicide pact. So who's going to pull their heart plug first? Who's going to jump off the cliff first? Ladies and gentlemen, this is wild gyrations. Every economist we look at says gold's going to hit 2,000. I don't know if that's going to happen. I just know this. It's for inflation numbers adjusted to 1980s, the last previous high before the one we broke last year of $1,030 an ounce, is over $2,500 now. Let's bring Ted Anderson in briefly. Ted, again, I would be excited that Genesis is owned by a long-term, well-known, respected gold and silver brokerage firm. I would be excited that I've been proven right saying buy gold at $280 an ounce and now it's $970. I would be excited, but I'm not. We bemoan this every day we talk on the phone, how bad this is. This is not some plus that we've been proven right. This is not some good thing. It is a silver lining in a tempest storm, the likes of which we may have never seen. But all I can say to listeners is you are out of your mind if you're still in the stock market. I know so many people that are still in their 401ks are like, well, I know it's dropped to 7,000. I know I've lost 60%+ of my value. And I know, but I'm just hoping. And I'm sure after the globalists, you know, bring it down to 4,000 or 5,000,
They're probably going to bring it back up, but can you survive that? Will your company even exist? A lot of them are going to go bankrupt by design. This is a total consolidation. Ted, 2 weeks ago, you were still offering gold at the 830 level when gold was up at $915 an ounce. You were passing that on. Now you bought gold at the 865, 870 level, and here you are offering gold again. That is, the gold you got is priced in $100 under what it's currently at.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Remember when I was talking about that before? I was saying, yeah, I'm selling the stuff at 830, and gold just dipped down below 900, and it was at that 870 level. And I said, I'm a buyer. I'm going to buy as much as I can to fill my safes at this level because I believe it's going to be up. Well, guess what? I'm on the right side of the market again. Surprise, surprise. I mean, here this new bailout's coming out, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 250 points. Everybody's flying to cash, and they're flying to gold. There's two things that are going up right now. U.S. Treasury notes, bonds, and bills are going up right now because people are trying to get into a cash position. And the other thing that's going up is gold is going up like crazy right now, 975. And, you know, I mean, it's just obvious the whole world is flying to liquidity. I mean, the bank stocks and all the financial stocks right now are just plummeting.
And people are running to two things. The dollar, which is being hyperinflated. That's like jumping out of the Titanic onto the deck of the Lusitania right as the German torpedo hits it. But they are running to gold, and this is definitely going to make the COMEX default, isn't it?
Well, it sure is. And you know, just yesterday I had a conversation with a customer who said that I was trying to take advantage of people, telling them that they should get out of annuities and get into gold. And what are annuities tied to but the stock market, which is down now another 250 points?
Well, that's because their stockbroker is telling them to stay in. And so, you know what? You want to tell us we're wrong, we've been right about everything, fine. I mean, I can't believe, you know, you got on air a few months ago and said that annuities aren't insured, and I got all these emails saying we're a liar. Hey, let me tell you something. Facts are facts. Your annuities are not guaranteed. They're not FDIC guaranteed. Ted, you want to explain that to them?
Yeah, sure. The insurance industry is not a banking industry. When you see that the FDIC is insuring a bank deposit now for $250,000, I'm sorry, but that does not cover your annuity. The annuity is you're relying on the insurance company to be sound in order to pay you the money. The underlying investments on variable annuities is no different than a mutual fund on the stock market. They're invested in typically blue chip stocks. Well, I'm sorry, blue chip stocks include General Motors, Chrysler Corporation.
They're down by over 65% right now.
I mean, you take the whole line of blue chip companies. They're the ones that are about ready to go bankrupt, and you're sitting on an annuity. Okay, so you have a fixed annuity. Now you're sitting with U.S. government securities, short-term notes. All this stuff is, I mean, we have bankruptcies coming all over the place, and I'm sorry, but no, your annuity is not insured. If that insurance company fails, you're lost.
Let's just talk facts. Let's just talk facts right now. We told people 6 years ago to get into gold when it was $268 an ounce. I keep saying 280. Now it's at 970. Now it's probably going to go up. It could even go down and then test and then go back up. It doesn't matter. At least it's an industrial metal used in the space shuttle, used in computers, used in everything. Gold and silver and platinum have intrinsic value. And let me ask you this. Gold in the last 2 years has more than doubled and given you a 50% return. Now I want to ask listeners something. Is something that's given you a 50% return in 24 months better than something that's given you a 60-plus percent loss? I mean, can we do basic mathematics here?
Well, I got to tell you right now, Alex, when I was buying in there at 870, I was also, I mean, I picked up a lot of silver down there at that $9 an ounce level. And silver right now is sitting at $14.26. And the best buy that I have, bar none, in my inventory, hands down, no questions asked, is going to be the Walking Liberty halves and the dimes. All that stuff is priced based upon when we were sitting on air and gold or silver was fluctuating between $9 and $10 an ounce. I was offering Walking Liberty halves at $869, and I was offering the mercury dime at $1.59 per dime, or in units of 1,000 or $100 face at $1,590. And both of those coins are at the same exact price today.
Let's explain. Silver is still back at the price you did when it was $9. It's now $14 or going up. Gold is at the $870. It's now right up at $970, $100 above. You have sovereigns, you have European francs, and you have silver. What other gold do you have, Ted?
I also have some $20 liberties and some $10 liberties. I did some math on these francs. The francs right now are at $221. Currently in the marketplace to rebuy them for me, $240. There's the difference, $221 to $240. That's $96 an ounce less than
right,
what
stay
they're
there. Stay there, Ted. I want to come back and give the number out and then go back to calls. But listen, 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. We're just going to briefly find out from Ted how long he can hold it at the price of $870 an ounce when it's now $970. Stay with us. We are back live, going straight to your calls and a ton of news. Got a very informative guest coming up in an hour and 5 minutes. Mike, Frank, Jim, Chris, Drew, we'll get to you in a moment. Ted, how long can you hold the deal at the 870 level?
Well, I'm committed to do it right through tonight. You know what's going to happen. I mean, if it acts anything like it has been, it's going to probably blow through $1,000 an ounce, or at least try to test that. And I wouldn't doubt it if it tries to test it today. It's a very aggressive market. But I do have supply, and I'm confident that I'll be able to continue to offer this deal clean through midnight, so therefore I'm committing to do that. If you call for this stuff, you just mentioned that you've heard it on the Alex Jones Show, and you want today's specials, which literally are the same prices as yesterday, even though gold's up over $31 an ounce. You know, right now, I don't think you can find a better opportunity than this.
You can't. It's insane. 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. Thank you, Ted.
Yeah, thanks for having me up.
You bet. If it gets near 1,000, we'll have you back on today to track it. Mike in Wyoming, thanks for holding, sir.
Hi, Alex. Two unrelated questions. Number one, I've got Cynthia Lummis coming to our town tomorrow for a town hall meeting. She's a freshman, just got elected. In fact, I ran against her last summer in the primary. And I'm just wondering, if it were your opportunity, what would you ask her, bearing in mind that I'll probably get one shot at her, one question, and probably no follow-up?
Well, I know that isn't it Wyoming that's on the verge of passing a law saying they're not going to follow federal gun laws?
Somebody introduced a reasonably good gun law.
Well, I knew that's one of the ones in the states' rights rebellion. I mean, I don't particularly know this. A state rep?
Yeah, he was a state rep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know her history or exactly what she's up to. She was a
multiple term state rep herself, and most recently she was a state treasurer for two terms.
Okay, yeah, I don't know all the honchos of the states, and in many cases I know some of them, the big states, like California, New York, Texas, and others, but in Florida. But and you're a pretty informed guy yourself, Mike, been calling for, I know, a decade, so I mean, I'd imagine you've got the best questions. I would bring up, because of the crowds that you're talking to, the fact that the Congress itself is under martial law, according to congressmen and others, and are being told what to do, and the states are being federalized, and what is she going to do to protect the people of the state from the banking robber barons that are coming in, and will she support the Declaration of State Sovereignty? Separate from that, Mike, what do you think about, I mean, it's one thing for us to talk about the New World Order all these years and know their plans, but to see it all unfolding, this is biblical.
Well, you know, you and I both knew, you know, saw this coming, and I didn't think it would, the pace would accelerate it as quickly as it has. Frankly, I didn't think I'd see it in my lifetime, but obviously I was wrong. Like you, I've been looking at other countries and just weighing the options, but I don't know. I can't get my wife too enthused about leaving, even though she's an immigrant herself. She's content to duke it out here in the States, so I don't know what I'm going to do. Hey, the other question I had was you've got a great memory for things like this. You've mentioned some of these bizarre occult antics that some of the world leaders like Blair and others have engaged in. Can you cite a couple of those? I hate to put you on the spot, but I want to write.
Yeah, about it's
that.
Been in the London Telegraph and a bunch of other publications that Tony Blair. You know, guys, Google this during the break. Tony Blair's wife engages in occult activities. Tony Blair does ritual. Stay there. I'll think about the headlines during the break and try to pull them up from memory. My computer is working.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Yeah, I Googled Tony Blair occult, and thousands of hits came up. It's a bunch of mainstream articles. I remember the fact that he goes to all these different occultic sites around the world and does these different rituals. He did an Aztec rebirthing ritual. Major British papers have reported literally hundreds of times that I remember that every morning he is possessed by a spirit he calls the spirit of light. And sometimes it makes him flop around on the floor. He just got a big globalist award for pushing the New World Order today, $1 million for some globalist. And his wife is involved in all these rituals. And, you know about Skull and Bones and Bohemian Grove and so many other things. People say, oh, well, Bohemian Grove was a play. Well, that's where religion, I mean, that's where plays come from, is they do it up on a stage. It is done in a theatrical way. But I was in the crowd of 1,500 men, and they were grinding their teeth and in religious ecstasy. And Mike Hansen, who was with me, sort of going, nobody was talking. It's going, oh, this is nice. This is neat. Oh, look at that. And they were just looking at him like, shut up. And I had the hidden camera videotaping it. So it's real. And the guys are in there printing some articles right now. Later, I'll try to read a few of those. But does that answer your question, Mike, from Wyoming?
Yeah, I was trying to remember specifically who it was that you reported as going out and howling at the moon. Was it a Frenchman?
Yes, that was a Francois Mitterrand.
Okay.
And this is memory if you bring him up. It's on record that the architect, the Japanese architect who built the Louvre pink gold pyramid, Francois Mitterrand did a ritual in there. There's a black pyramid inside inverted, so above, you know, as below, as above.
Right.
You know, so below. And then Mitterrand, because it was so important, went to a mountaintop, did a ritual, and then howled. And then it's been in the news that a lot of the famous liberal feminists in Austin go out, and that's even in the news, and do rituals, and oh, it's so cute. But then we talk about it, and they call us kooks when they're even admitting it. But yes, Francois Mitterrand, a bunch of them howl. Go out and howl at the moon. Oh, yeah, buck at the moon. So they are, pull that up. You can find it on YouTube. Let's just bark at the moon, Ozzy Osbourne. We'll play that for Francois Mitterrand. And the point is they're obsessed with all this. I mean, look, some of the best evidence is Helmut Schmidt, German Chancellor, not Helmut Kohl. Helmut Schmidt wrote Men and Powers, a political retrospective. And in there he admits there's a world government, the Bilderberg Group and Trilateral Commission run it, but where a lot of stuff gets done, he says, is in Northern California at the Bohemian Grove, where he said he loves to travel every year, even before he was the German chancellor. And he says in there that they have their own ritualistic groves in Germany and Austria, but his favorite place to, quote, do the rituals, this is in my Bohemian Grove film, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, we show the book, we zoom in on the text, his favorite place to do rituals is Northern California, Mike.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. Those are the instances I was trying to think of. All right.
Absolutely. Hey, guys, go ahead and crank it up on air.
Bye.
Joke, and they love to claim they rise from the dead. They love to claim that they live forever. They love to try to duplicate what Christ did, but it's all a counterfeit and a fraud. No, you only live one life, and all you Satanists are going to die. Your bodies are going to fail, and you will be judged. All right, so there you have it. Yes, the caller got me off into talking about Tony Blair and the rest of them howling at the moon. Blair's also done it. Francois Mitterrand. And did you guys, I told you to Google that. Did you guys find any of them? You told me you found some. Bring them in, because later I want to cover them here. I can't talk and Google. I did Google Tony Blair occult, and again, all these news articles popped up. Frank in New York, you're on the air. Welcome, sir.
Good afternoon, Alex. I guess this marks the fifth year I've, you know, been calling in occasionally. The last time, I believe, was last year after the Bilderberger Conference in Istanbul. But I wanted to mention that I think Tony and Cherry Blair did one of the Wiccan Druid events at Stonehenge. I remember that about 8 or 10 years ago.
Yeah,
that would have made the world press. But I wanted to say right now that... you know, what we had discussed regarding the financial system is now coming true. And I just wanted to say this, that if the government was serious about tracing the missing trillions, it would be fairly easy to do, because our tax dollars developed, spent, paying for the development of the NSA-CIA software that allows any financial transaction or capital flow to be traced anywhere in the world. And you'll recall that Bush in 2001 was using this to entrap humanitarian groups that were funding aid to the Middle East. And what's interesting about it is that the looting was done from within. And it really is, I think, the end of our economic hegemony and really our economic well-being right now. I anticipate, you know, in the next year, as the financial crisis increases, Barack Obama will do what FDR did. And I think he will have the Treasury confiscate all the gold, and that will be used to pay off or to create new securities to pay off the foreign debt and balance of trade payments.
Well, they did do that. They did do that in 1933, but most people didn't turn it in. And it's better to have the gold and silver than to have them just confiscated out of your bank account or devalue your currency down to nothing. But you're right. There is no silver bullet, pun for bark at the moon. to fix this. We have criminals running things only by discrediting them and saying they're illegitimate and saying no to them and arresting them. Can we stop this? They will give us no quarter. They are going for broke.
Right. And I wanted to, before I hang up, I wanted to make a comment. I'm very concerned about what Barack Obama is doing to Pakistan.
Lord Obama, sir, show respect.
Well, what I'm very concerned about the fact that we have sent our missiles in attacking civilians under the pretext of, going after terrorists, and actually all we're doing is destabilizing the region.
Well, that's what General Hamid Ghul said here on this show,
that's correct.
Is that it's designed to destabilize it.
And one other comment, too. I think as the European press and the German security intelligence group has come out with the fact that, or the statement that they believe through the research that what happened in Mumbai, the bombing in Mumbai that occurred most recently was actually done with MI6, the CIA and Mossad to destabilize India as well. So
That's now in major Indian papers. Go ahead.
It is, yes, correct. The Times of India had that in. But what I'm concerned about, too, is the fact that we have now in four areas of the region hotspots that could immediately, go into a global nuclear situation. That frightens me immensely. So all I can say is this, Alex. Speaking as Cassandra, you certainly had it pegged out. And I think even though we disagreed occasionally on certain policies, we got the picture. And sadly, it looks as if it's a done deal. And I just hope that what you were discussing regarding the state sovereignty will be a solution, and I'm hoping that more states will adopt that, because I know our governor here in New York made the news yesterday with his belief that he'll solve the tax situation problem by taxing pornography in New York.
Well, that's
and,
a cover
you know,
story.
When we have a blind
it's really taxing the internet and movies you download, period. They just say porn to fool the public. Go ahead.
Right. The only thing I want to say about that is that that sort of shows how really out of touch, the state of New York is with the current situation. And as one of the great Roman emperors said, when we experience the luxuries, we soon forget about the necessities. And I think that's really where a lot of this country is now.
No, I hear you. They're out of touch, and I appreciate your call. Great points. Or what is attributed to Marie Antoinette, she didn't really say it, but it was the attitude of the French rulers. Let them eat cake. They're starving to death. Oh, let them eat cake then. Call out Northcom against that rabble immediately. But the army, their families are starving as well. You see how that works? You see how that works? The New World Order is going to hurt everybody. Let's go ahead and go to Salvatore in Italy. I hadn't noticed we had a caller from that far away. We'll go to him first. Salvatore, good to have you on board.
Hi. Sorry for my bad English in advance.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know any Italiano, but I can say ciao, bambo. That's pretty silly, isn't it?
No problem.
Or like goodbye, bumblebee.
Yes,
hey, but seriously, how you doing? Good to have you call.
I'm doing fine. I want to thank you for waking me up to the evil that is surrounding us in this new millennium and century. And starting with your wonderful movies on and documentaries on 9/11 and the totalitarian state.
Do me a favor, your Skype phone, sir, your Skype phone's a little bit low audio. Will you speak up?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, just speak up.
Oh, okay. I want to thank you for your wonderful documentaries and for your fight against the the new world order, and everything else. What I want to say to you and all your audience is the situation here in Italy, where our president Giorgio Napolitano, who was a former communist, is now talking about Nuovo Ordine Mondiale or Nuovo Ordine Seculorum in Latin, on the world order in English. Every day, every single day, is selling to us this concept.
Yeah, New World Order, New World Order, now, New World Order.
Every day. He just said that everyone who criticizes the European Union is a criminal in some sense.
Well, are the Italianos buying the government propaganda?
Of course, but it is not the government only government propaganda, because is the real core of Italian establishment is very complicated, the system here in
Well,
Italy.
Rome is the city of Rome is a big part of the European Union, right? So they want the European Union.
Yes, they want, but it seems once upon a time the Italians were the people who are most favorable to the European Union. But now we are very disillusioned by this super state, and we are starting to see it like the new Soviet Union of Europe.
Well, I know that many European nations are in revolt right now against the EU stealing all the infrastructure and taxing the people. Do you think Italy's going to have riots?
I hope not, because the Italian people there were never a revolution in history. There were all counter-revolution, never a revolution there was here. The problem is that the problem is that
the entire leadership is New World Order. We're out of time, sir. Good to hear from you. Call back again when you've got a better line. We'll come back and take more phone calls, cover more news. Got a big guest coming up in the next hour as well. Stay with us.
Hey, good afternoon, Alex. How are you?
Good, sir.
Our first-time caller, and I had a couple of questions, and if I could make a comment. I know you're pressed for time with all the callers, but I was wondering what your take was. I live here in the People's Republic of Massachusetts. I don't know if you're aware of it, but our illustrious governor, Deval Patrick, who is the buddy of our president, actually came out with some breaking news the last couple of days where he wanted to put a tracking chip in our vehicle registration sticker on our car so we could be tracked.
Yeah, that's all federal. They're getting the states to pass it for highway funds, and they want to put cameras in all new driver's cars in multiple states. It's always for the children first, and you know, they've always got and state police everywhere want DNA of anybody arrested for misdemeanors. They got police chiefs pushing it. I mean, it's just total New World Order.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, and that's one of the reasons why I want to get out of Massachusetts. I have four children, and it's getting real scary here. I actually spoke up at a town meeting against a $15.5 million public safety building that they wanted to put up. And the next day, when I tried to assess my veterans' benefits, the town manager actually called up the local veterans agency and tried to get my benefits taken away. So, I mean, it's time for me to leave the state of Massachusetts. So the two questions I have is, number one, I've been looking around at different states. I wanted to get your take on what you would think would be a better state to live in, Florida, Texas, or somewhere out in the Midwest.
Not Florida. It's got drug dealing, very corrupt police, child kidnapping rings, both government and private. One of the worst states, not bashing Florida. It's a beautiful state. Love the Keys, but very, very bad, very, very corrupt. Texas, if it's a place like Austin, you know, overall, because the people are somewhat informed, is a good place. Wyoming, Montana, if you want to stay in the north, Vermont, you know, has pretty good laws and you know, pretty decent police. I mean, those are some states right there.
Any place in the Midwest you would suggest?
You know, there's some pretty good places in Missouri, and but it's getting bad all over, man.
Okay. All right. And final question. I appreciate what you do, and I'm always pushing people to look into listening to your show or at least view your documentaries. And this gentleman that I've been working on for about a year, he listens to the program, and he said, I thought I almost had him, and he brought up an objection I thought he would never bring up. He said he was listening to the program about 4 months ago, and I guess Ted Anderson was on, and he was on the way to the airport to drop his son off who was going in the military.
Yeah, go ahead.
And he was saying, well, you know, if these people really believe, meaning the Genesis Network, believe what Alex Jones was saying, wouldn't that be the last place that they want their kid to go into is the military, especially where we're going into a new world order?
Well,
I didn't know how to answer him.
Sure, let me answer that. You know, people get into all... Thank you, sir. People get into all this legalese with us. And I'm not going to get into private discussions I've had with Ted about his son. In fact, go get Ted and see if he wants to talk about this. Because Ted brings up things, and then it becomes an issue on air. And if Ted wants to talk about it, that's fine. Ted, his children, his three children are not his slaves. Okay? And, you know, Ted is proud of his son. His son... you know, wants to be tested, wants to be in the military, wants to go into combat. And, you know, I've known his son since he was a little bitty kid. I remember when he was, you know, little bitty, when I'd go up to Genesis 11, 12 years ago. And he is now on his way to Afghanistan. And you can't take away from the fact that people want to be in the military, they want to defend America, you know, they buy into that image. So I'm not going to sit here and judge... off of, I mean, what his son does. His son wanted to join the military, and I, you know, Ted is a very respectful, nice person. I've really gotten to know him over the years and really like him, and he doesn't dominate people. He lets the talk show host do what they want as well. And, you know, I don't want to speak for Ted, but, you know, that's an interesting interview just to ask Ted if he wants to talk about it. I mean, he's actually told me what he thinks. But, I, you know, that's private information. We'll see if Ted wants to talk about it. I mean, about what Ted's views were about his son joining the Army. I know this. I would do anything to keep my son from joining because of the inoculations, all of it, you know, what the military is and does. But, I mean, this type of legalese nitpicking, oh, they're saying they're anti-war, but then, you know, the owner of the network's son joined the Army. Well, that's because he's patriotic and he's young. Okay? And it's not bad because he did that. We're trying to explain this. And I'm going to go through a few other points along similar legalese I hear from people when we get back. Stay with us right here on the GCN Radio Network.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.
You know, people that listen to this show look for any contradictions, any hypocrisy. And they look hard and long instead of the fact of, are foreign banks taking control of the U.S.? Are they setting up a world bank to control our country? Are they globalist? Are they eugenicists? Do they want to micromanage our lives? The answer is yes. Instead of, and because I got quite a few emails about this and some phone calls and now another one on air about, hey, you guys say you're against the war, but the owner of the network's son joined the Army and is being sent to Afghanistan. Well, I mean, he's a young man. He's not a slave. And Ted had privately told me that he said, I respect your decision, but I think you ought to think about, you know, staying in college or, you know, going into business. And, you know, he even worked some for the network. But young men want rites of passage. You know, simulated combat, football, sports, things like that. We're meant to be able to have fist fights, get in fights. I was able to do all that. You do that now, you go to jail. I was able to go through my rites of passage so that I didn't, by the time I was 17, I'd been in so many fights and had bones broken, leg broken, nose broken, that I understood that, you know, I didn't need to do a rite of passage. That's why they target 17, 18-year-old men. You know, you look at any culture, Native Americans, when they hit about 15, they start going out on raiding parties, war parties. And it's the same in ancient Germanic culture and the same in Asian culture. We are warriors. That is what we do. We defend our tribe. We go out, we fight. It's in us, but it's you know, the globalists take that and mutate it into something bad. You know, our military has a great history. Our country has been an engine of good in most cases. It's also had a lot of abuses and bad. But for people to say, oh, look, you know, you're pro-war because Ted's just, you know, talking about, I remember talking to Ted when he was almost, you know, not almost in tears. I'd call him about something. He's like, I'm here, I'm dropping my son off at the airport for boot camp. I got to go. And then, you know, then I'd call him up at graduation and because, you know, talking to Ted a few times a week. And I know it took a toll on Ted. So Ted said he was happy to have this private stuff discussed. You know, you can only commend your son for the courage. You know, that's what we honor most. Cowardice is what's brought us into what we're at today. And even though the war in Afghanistan and the rest of it is about opium, your son doesn't know that yet. He'll learn that like Pat Tillman did, but I hope not in the way Pat did. So, I mean, you know, you're going through a lot, Ted, with this, and then you bare your soul to the listeners and they turn that into something against you. I think that's sick.
Well, I mean, Alex, I mean, the main thing is that, yes, indeed. I mean, my son wants to defend this nation. I'm very proud of him for that factor. He's not, you know, he's not considering the fact that there's corruption in the U.S. government, and a lot of that corruption gets covered up by the military. But nonetheless, I mean, I got to tell you, I'm completely proud of my son, and he made his decision. He's his own man. I'm not the one to make that decision for him. If he decides to go into the army, then he's going to the army, and he's still my son, and I'm going to stand back behind him. I would be more than happy and willing to pick up arms and defend our nation if we had an invasion here on our continent. The main thing for me is that you know, I don't believe in a lot of this foreign war stuff that we have going on. I don't think we should be in a lot of these places that we're in. You know, we're here to defend our borders. Yes, indeed, I think we should do that 100%, and I'd be willing to give my life immediately to defend and uphold the Constitution and the security of this nation. But, you know, I mean, to have somebody go in and you're right about that. I mean, people draw these silly conclusions. You know, sometimes I just kind of have to shake my head and wonder where that came from, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people, good, upstanding citizens out there that have you know, been in the service and stood for good, not bad. And just because, you know, what we see going on politically in this nation doesn't necessarily mean one soldier joins the army to defend our nation is making a bad choice.
Well, I just want to commend your son, Tim, and he's just a great young man. I've known him since he was, he's like 18 or 19 now. How old is he?
Yeah, he's 19.
So I've known you for 12 years, and I remember when he was just a little kid up there at the office, and you know, this is his rite of passage, and again, it's a free country. You know, your son is his own man, and it just shows how people will invent anything to weasel out of the issues we're discussing.
Well, that's right, and I'm wondering if that same person, if it was an invasion in our country, would he be willing to defend it? You know, it's still, I mean, there's still this part of me that knows that we have liberty and some freedoms here in the United States, and those weren't given to us lightly. There are a lot of good men and women that have given their lives to ensure that we have this ability to even have this radio show on air, and we, you know, I got to tell you, we have to thank the men and women in the armed forces for that, because if we didn't do that, we wouldn't have this liberty. We must fight. Freedom is not free. you have to sometimes stand up and give your life for it. And what's going on with the corruption and this, you know, what we see, this constant barrage against our constitutional rights, the reason why that's happening is because too many people are sitting back and not...
That's right. The American people, you can't blame the troops unless they try for gun confiscation and they become enemies of the Republic, but that's not going to happen. Police, military, they're all contacting me saying, look, Alex, we know what's going on. It is the American people sitting on their big potato butts in front of the television, doing nothing and criticizing everybody else who's in the arena. And so I can criticize your son's decision and say that I don't think it's the wisest one, but overall God does things with, you know, things that overall probably aren't, I don't think, too good a decision for him. But at the same time, he's got guts, and guts is enough, and at least he's in the arena. And that's what I respect is people. You know, I even respect, you know, people on the enemy side who are at least, you know, fighting and aren't cowards. What I don't respect is the lukewarm who are just, you know, passive about everything, never take a stand, never make a decision, never, you know, throw the dice. And so we all need to pray for Tim and the things that he's going to be facing, because things are getting really hot over there. But, Ted, I know it's tough for you to talk about this, and we just really appreciate you, Ted, and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me up again, Alex. I appreciate you.
You bet. Let me talk about a few other issues, and this isn't because it's about this show. It shows the mass craziness. It shows the nuttiness. Genesis has run ads for companies that sell tasers. And then I've taken ads on the website for taser sites, self-defense sites, and people email me going, you speak out against tasers, you're a hypocrite, you're selling them, or you're advertising somebody that sells them. No, it's you that intellectually don't understand multidimensional thinking. I mean, you're in a one-dimensional thought process. Everything I say is congruent because it's the truth as I know it. It's like I've had gun dealers as sponsors. I'm against a criminal using a gun to hold up a liquor store or a bank or to shoot their neighbor. Or I'm against a bad cop shooting people at Waco. But the gun itself is a good thing and is the bedrock of liberty. I'm against police if a pregnant lady doesn't get out of a car automatically and argues tasering her. Or somebody's held down for asking somebody a question, like Senator Kerry about Skull and Bones, and they're holding him down, his hands are up, you know, palms up, going, please don't tase me, bro. I'm against the misuse of that taser. You know, that's like saying if somebody runs over somebody with an automobile, saying, you know, I'm against automobiles. No, I'm against crazy drunk people driving around 100 miles an hour. That's what I'm against. So, I mean, I have bought my wife tasers. You know why? She's good with a firearm. But our guns are in instant access pistol safes and take about 3 seconds to get to, and they're not everywhere in the house. And I don't leave guns out, even though my children are trained not to go near them until they're trained on them. And now that's happening with my son. Friends could come over, or neighbors or whatever, and get a hold of one. So, but in her person things that she keeps on her, keeps away from the children, you know, she will carry pepper spray and a taser. Because if they did happen to get into it, there's only one chance out of 200 is the average they've been coming up with that it would probably kill one of my children. But there's a higher chance, 50-50 on average, if they were to shoot themselves with a gun. So we have tasers. And I meant to order some more because I think that's something I need to carry in my car. Most states, it's not illegal to carry them. So, you know, I'm for citizens being armed. Now, that means less lethal or non-lethal. A great weapon is a ball-peen hammer, and you're not carrying a concealed weapon because you can also use it for doing carpentry. But get yourself a, you know, large ball-peen hammer and, you know, throw it back there in the back of the car with a box of nails. Oh, you're just doing some stuff. Somebody assaults you, folks, a ball-peen hammer will kill somebody in one blow. When you're talking about a deadly trudgeon, a mace. And, you know, if somebody starts physically assaulting me with a weapon, I just go for the ball-peen hammer. Or they pull a gun, I pull a gun. And I'm not looking for trouble. somebody comes after me, they're going to get a ball peen hammer upside their head repeatedly. I'm not playing games with my life and my family. You assault me, you're going to get assaulted right back 110%, and I'm not going to stop till you're out on the pavement. And, you know, there's other things people bring up. I hear people emailing me and posting in the InfoWars comment page, Alex Jones just a few weeks ago said he was against secession, but now he's saying he's for all the states doing this. No, Mr. Lawyer, that's not what I've said. I've said I'm against the globalists breaking the United States up with stage rebellions they stage with the illegal aliens in the Southwest. And so the states need to declare sovereignty and reconvene the union. And then I don't want them to break up and not reconvene the union. I've said I'm for the union, but the union's already been lost because the globalists have come in and captured the central government and are now shoring up their police state grid. And so I'm for the United States. I'm for sovereignty. I'm for the states having the sovereignty and the federal government being very small, not an empire. We're very deep into this, folks. And a lot of protected, powerful individuals are giving us no quarter. So see, another fraud, another claim against me that is not true. I mean, I've had Charles Key on for 12, 13 years about state sovereignty. I've had guest after guest over the years on, and I never claimed to be the progenitor of this idea. We have people on who were the progenitors of this idea. We quote the founding fathers. It isn't about credit. And people try to falsely claim that I'm declaring credit over this when we've got a war to fight, an info war. Why argue about this? I mean, I know you're mad that all of you out there that, you know, this show just gets bigger and bigger and you're jealous for stupid reasons when I'm on the front lines busting my butt like nobody else. You ought to be glad I'm working here for everybody, including myself. And man, be sure about this. This is all selfish. I want to be free. I want my family to be free. But I instinctively know that everybody else has got to be free for me to be free. I know my instinct to want to lay down my life for others is really an instinct to preserve the species. We're all connected in a symbiotic relationship. You know, the whole point here is that I gave credit to the listeners that in the last month we've been beating the drum, and that's gotten the bushfire started. As the state reps have told you, they're hearing from our listeners. Just like Ron Paul said, half of his donations came from this radio show. I didn't get him to say that. He just said it on air. And is that a toot my horn? No. It's showing the power of you, of us, of we the people. And our enemies can't stand that. They howl with anger. They howl in anger at the 9/11 Truth Movement. They howl in anger at the state rights movement. And it's all part of just the bad attitude, the twisted mindset, the loser mindset that poisons and permeates so many layers of society. So let's get focused and be men and women out there and realize we got the fight of our lives ahead. This depression is going to get worse and worse and worse. And riots are going to break out in many areas, and society is going to degenerate. And the globalists are going to try to use that crisis to bring in a hardcore, perfected tyranny that makes Stalinist Russia and Nazi Germany look tame in comparison. And I know, and I'm not just saying that. I mean that. So get your head screwed on in the right direction. I'm on a mission. And when you get on a mission for liberty, your life's going to be fulfilled and you've got a better chance of surviving this. But we don't have time, ladies and gentlemen, to screw around anymore. Chris in Mississippi, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Alex?
Talking to you, my friend.
Yeah, I hear you, dude. That was a great show you did last night with George on Coast to Coast. I appreciate it, man. You're leading the way, and I appreciate you having the guts to carry this banner. So,
thank you. But let me just say again, sir, I would have to have the stupid guts, you know, to know this and not fight it. I mean, actually, it's not even guts. This is self-preservation. But go ahead.
Oh, I understand. I try to talk to. I know I got a buddy that just got out of the Navy and some friends that are listening, but the one that just got out of the Navy, he just can't accept it. But anyway, just to get to my points here, one little quick side issue is my son, they wanted to put him in an accelerated learning program at a school. He tested pretty high on their test. And one of the things I was wondering is, of course, this is in Mississippi. If you've run across anything suggesting that that's purely academic accelerated learning, or if maybe it's also an accelerated indoctrination program, but also on the state sovereignty movement, do you actually you really see this going somewhere? You don't really see it fizzling out like it did a decade ago.
It goes somewhere if we make it go somewhere. I mean, you've seen floodwaters come up against a berm, and you just know they're going to push it over. And every one of us out there is like a bucket of water in that lake. So it's up to us to crest this. Absolutely. We don't have a choice. I mean, this is only one of our solutions. But yes, absolutely. This is a serious avenue. I mean, the founding fathers, 3% of the population at the start of the Revolutionary War. I mean, look, if we commit, nothing on earth can stop us. And you know, as for your son, accelerated learning, the programs are too diverse for me to be able to comment on that. Generally, an accelerated learning school would be better than the regular government training camp. But yes, there is more government model, UN, and other globalist programs that they target the honor roll students with.
Okay, yeah, that was a bit of a concern. And as far as, you know, something I've been doing is this... I printed off a copy of every bill that I could find that's been introduced, you know, the Montana, the New Hampshire, the Oklahoma. And I've got several printouts of them, along with the WorldNet Daily article that was wrote about it. And I've got those going to every state rep and state senator in my state. So, and I would like to hope that every other patriot does.
Absolutely.
The same.
They need to be knee-deep in these resolutions. You're making it happen. You are destiny. We're going live at PrisonPlanet.tv in T-minus 6 minutes. Drew in Minnesota, then Jeff, Susan, Patriot, Rourke, and others. Go ahead, Drew, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how are you?
Good.
I'm grateful to be talking to you and a big fan. You've got a huge following. A couple quick things. I just want to cast my vote to put Glenn back on. I know he's kind of a this side, that side. But I feel like he's kind of in the same boat with maybe Lou Dobbs. Is, you know, he's kind of limited as to how far he can go and what he can say.
Well, we've gotten Lou Dobbs on the show, and that was pretty hard. And we haven't tried Beck. I got a sneaking suspicion doing a three-hour radio show and a TV show. In fact, I know from big syndicated shows he's hard to get on. But sure. Absolutely, let's try to get Glenn back on.
Okay. The other thing, one quick question. I've got a... good friend who's real optimistic about the future because of this National Economic Security and Reformation Act. Is there any merit to that NASARA thing?
No.
Or is that just...
No. NASARA's not real. It's been going around for 14 years that I know, since the internet was even, you know, really big or being used by a lot of folks. And it's all made up. There's this magical thing that's going to fix everything, and it's just another excuse to stand down. It's total bull. And it's always, okay, next month they're going to fix it. Next month there's a secret group that loves you in government. They're going to take care of you.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate it, Alex. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call. That's another PSYOP. Let's go ahead and talk. I've probably answered that question 300 times. Jeff in Missouri, you're on the air, Jeff.
Alex, how do you do, my good man?
Good, sir.
Hey, I had a quick comment, not too timely now. I graduated from a film school in Chicago, and one of my classes, Documentary and Social Change, we had a chance to meet Bill Ayers, who came in and spoke to our class of about 8 or 9 people. But just to be short, within that conversation, he essentially admitted to being a provocateur. Him and a couple other people would go around and protest at, like, Grant Park, and he would say they'd be too passive. So he'd go around and, like, kick people in the shins to start fights. But at the time, I didn't really think much of it, but then listened to your show.
You know, he worked for big foundations. That's why they weren't prosecuted for staging terror attacks against police and military.
I'm sorry.
No, Webster Tarpley's book, his new one on Obama, I mean, that's on record. These guys are feds. Remember when Clinton released a whole bunch of weathermen that had, you know, killed police and things?
Yeah, I didn't hear about them killing anybody. The one gentleman who was no longer with them, like in the '80s, was with some like Black Liberation and some.
No, they killed people. People died in the bombings.
Okay. But another quick question. I just kind of wanted to say that just off the top, because I've been trying to tell you that for a few months. But about this sovereignty issue, and I've been hearing the representatives, and that's so, I mean, and it's very strong, and that's definitely a place to start. I'm not hearing too many senators and governors speak in the same vein.
Okay, let me be clear. 14 states passed this in the 90s. Well, they just have to enforce it. 14 states, we covered it yesterday, gave the names. There's 20 states now and growing. Of course, he says it's 28 now. He's doing an article the next few days on it. I'm sure he's accurate and, you know, make stuff up like that. I haven't seen it yet. And so, you know, it's us putting pressure on them and drawing the battle lines that the feds are illegitimate.
I absolutely agree, but I'm thinking, like, back in the day, like, the Interstate Commerce Act and the whole quid pro quo, either do what we do, states, or you're not going to get, you know, let us put these interstates through, or you're not going to get X amount of dollars. And specifically in Missouri now, Jay Nixon's now about to get $4 billion for the state. Regardless of what these representatives are saying, is he really going to turn away from $4 billion of federal money to have this conversation?
They need to, need to sue and explain that that's their state money to begin with and stop giving it to the feds. The federal government tripled under George Bush, and Obama's getting ready to triple it again. So we'll be right back. Engage.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Tuesday, the 17th day of February, 2009. We've got 2 hours left in this worldwide transmission. In the last 2 hours of the show every day, we simulcast at prisonplanet.tv for all the prisonplanet.tv viewers. Then we archive it as well each afternoon for folks. And, of course, the radio show is live from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you don't have an AM or FM in your area, call local affiliates. Get us one. That's how we get most of our affiliates. And you can always listen for free at InfoWars.com. The show's restreamed 24 hours a day, even when it's not live. And 125-plus thousand people a day. Download the free podcast in the Listen Live section of InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. We have a guest coming up, D.H. Williams, who writes for the Daily Newscaster about inside source reveals FEMA and Department of Homeland Security preparing for mass graves and martial law. So that is coming up in the next segment. An amazing interview I did with him Sunday. We ran out of time, so I wanted to have him back up today. Right now, let's continue with your phone calls. We'll have calls, by the way, throughout this final hour as well. Well, the next 2 hours as well. We have 2 hours left, or an hour and 58 minutes to be precise. Up next is Susan in Minnesota. You're on the air, Susan.
Yes, hi, Alex. I just wanted to tell you did a great job with Coast to Coast yesterday when I found it to be so inspiring to find out that maybe there might be more than 20 states already drawing that line in the sand, telling the federal government, no, we will not allow the FEMA camps or the gun confiscations or, as you pointed out, the forced vaccinations. This is so critical and so important. I think it should encourage a lot of people to revisit the 9th and 10th Amendment. The information that you gave was just so amazing. I was so impressed with how articulate you were on the show. And I think it should hopefully be encouraging for a lot of people to call their representatives and remind them and encourage them to also do the same thing. I just wanted to briefly also say something about Larry Pratt, who you've had on there many times. I think that should also be a reminder of people that if they're in the NRA, they should get out and get into Gun Owners of America with Larry Pratt. I don't know if you're familiar. I think you are. I've talked about David Olufsen. He's the individual who was recently charged with having a semi-automatic weapon that misfired, that they decided to define as an automatic weapon, which, of course, is, and a lot of people should be alarmed by the fact that if they have a gun that misfires, it suddenly may be defined as an automatic weapon.
And the BATF admitted that, you know, he sold somebody a gun that at a gun range misfired and fired two rounds, and they admitted it was a legal AR-15 he bought. He was currently in the Army. He'd just been honorably discharged in the National Guard, and they he's now serving, what is it, a 10-year prison sentence. And in fact, I meant to play a Lou Dobbs clip on that Monday. John, you have that clip I sent you, don't you, that we never got to yesterday? Yeah, it was the Lou Dobbs on the Mr. Olson case. Folks can go to gunowners.org, and they've got the video on their main page. At least they did Sunday, and you can see that clip right there. But no. They want to go after American gun owners. They've got bills introduced all over different states, scores of states, where the ammo is stamped and registered to you every time you buy it, and then you have to turn it in every 2 years to 4 years, depending on the state. You know, you can't keep your ammo. I mean, you know, this is insane. They're coming after our Second Amendment.
Right, that's right. And for people that don't know this, when you do join Gun Owners of America, they also, not only do they provide you with a lot of the information, but they do have a legal staff and support for you. And
they're actually defending Mr. Olson, and they got the Supreme Court case and all that. I mean, they're it. They're the real gun group, the real Second Amendment group. The NRA is an enemy cloaked operation, a double agent. There's no doubt, and Larry Pratt's laid all that out on air. And I'm the one that pushed Pratt to go public with all the history of the NRA. He finally did it. That's been defeating our enemy, the NRA. All right, good to hear from you. We'll come back and take more phone calls, ladies and gentlemen, right here on the one, the only, GCN Radio Network, simulcasting with InfoWars, PrisonPlanet.tv.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are back live, simulcasting at PrisonPlanet.tv. Let me blitz through some of the headlines we haven't covered and recap some of the other top stories, and we're going to our guests for the balance of the hour and taking your phone calls. Clinton says don't blame him for the economic crisis. This is from Yahoo News. Of course, in Time Magazine, the bigger issue here is that it was actually, if you want to mete out blame, Bush is involved. They're all working together. Obama's involved. But it was the Clinton administration that did get rid of the Glass-Steagall Act and did change the laws and is most to blame for what the bankers have done. And then Time Magazine has another story, 25 people to blame for the financial crisis, and they don't blame any of the real people. They go after the top 25 people, and they don't blame any of the real ones. And they got Madoff and George Bush and people like that. These are not the real architects. These are high-level criminals involved in it. So we'll get into that. Also, Leahy has been under a lot of pressure to at least probe Bush wrongdoings. The problem is he won't be lined up with his party's own president, who has now endorsed the torture, the secret arrest, everything else. Leahy's plan to probe Bush-era wrongdoings. The right screams that it's a witch hunt. The left complains it's a cop-out, and President Obama wishes it would just go away. Aw. But Senator Patrick Leahy isn't about to drop his proposal for a truth commission, that's like a UN thing, to investigate wrongdoing in the Bush administration. We would be making a mistake for history's purpose if we walk away from this, the Vermont Democrat said. And that dovetails with this report here today out of the Associated Press. Obama's Justice Department standing by George Bush secrecy and the things that he's doing. I said I would get to this a little bit earlier. If you just Google, a caller asked about Tony Blair and Francois Mitterrand, all these world leaders involved in the occult. You just Google Tony Blair occult and witchcraft and nail clippings, the weird world of Sherry Blair. Even by the standards of the alternative therapist said to be used by Sherry Blair, submitting her husband's toenail clippings to a health guru's pendulums, is taking her alleged new age obsession to a higher level. Miss Blair's human rights lawyer has long been the subject of claims about a fondness for weird and wonderful treatments, ranging from Mayan rebirthing ceremony to eating strawberry leaves to cure swollen ankles. So they kind of whitewash it, then they get into bizarre occult practices here in the article. And you can find articles about him channeling the spirit of the light and all the rest of this craziness. We've got it up on screen at Prison Planet .tv for folks. That's just one of the articles. Type in Francois Mitterrand. Louvre Pyramid 666 with 666 pieces of glass and him doing rituals when it was completed right before he left the presidency before Jacques Chirac And then now we have Niccolo Sarkozy. Not even French, as usual. But right now, let's go to D.H. Williams. He wrote the story for the Daily Newscaster. Inside source reveals FEMA and DHS preparing for mass graves and martial law. He confirmed they have the tape, but they're not, we're not saying, I've learned the county and who it is, but for his, he doesn't want to be public at this time, telling him about mass graves, hardening of government facilities in a rural area of cornfields. They want to know where everything is, and the city official, the county official, emergency management thought that this was a preparation for martial law. But I had D.H. Williams on with us, and he was very, very informative about what Doug Williams, and he'd also been in special forces, so he talked about how they were, they trained for things years before they actually did it, and that he sees that's what's happening here, and we totally clicked with all of our info and my own research. So I wanted to have him back up for the rest of this hour, maybe a little bit in the next hour, and to take your phone calls on a host of issues. But Mr. Williams, good to have you here back with us.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and thanks for having me back on, Alex.
You bet. I was cutting in a lot in those short segments on the weekend, the Sunday show. Recap the total picture here, what's happening, and why this is such a concern.
Well, what's happened recently is there's been a municipal official in a county in Indiana, not far from Chicago. Pull out a map, you can kind of locate the area. And each county is required to have at least six meetings with FEMA officials or Department of Homeland Security officials to set up various programs, plans, gather data, identify infrastructure in towns, and just basically, gather a lot of information without telling people what they're doing with it. This individual was part of those meetings, and after attending all the mandatory meetings, having the phone conversations, filling out extensive questionnaires, he became suspicious of the goals and motives, particularly when they were not fully forthcoming to him with information. They would, sidestep answers or give vague general answers to questions.
They were also deceptive in the questions, claiming, "We want you to harden city buildings for jumbo jets flying into them," and the next, it's for high winds.
Exactly. I mean, there's deception in their questions, and what kind of answer is that? I mean, how do you harden all of your buildings in a county against a 747? That's such an unlikely scenario. It just doesn't make sense.
Being with Special Forces in the U.S. Army, what does make sense to harden government buildings?
Well, I tell you what, I'm not. First thing, I don't believe in a static defense, so I would say that that's a bad. My training says that's not a good idea. My concern would be the planning and the preparation. That's what's the real concern. The information about hardening and possible plane crashes. I think that's just the agent trying to cover up what they're really interested in. Also, they may not know fully what the information's for. People are compartmentalized. They are only given what they need in generalities to complete their objectives, and they probably don't know the extent of the plan, even if they can imagine what it might be.
Absolutely. Continue with the overall, what's happening there in Illinois and Indiana and surrounding areas. Recap some of what we discussed Sunday.
Well, basically, this official had some meetings with DHS and FEMA, other counties. They brought everybody to Indianapolis for a meeting in late December of 2008, where they were basically told that, hey, GM could collapse, the economy's in horrible shape, we could see mass unemployment, we could see counties lose up to 40% of their funds, and what's going to follow is unrest and depression. And we need to have a contingency plan for that. We need to be prepared for that, which what that scenario describes is being prepared to control popular dissent is what they need to be prepared for.
Because the government's fully hijacked by foreign banks and doing everything opposite of the Constitution or the will of the people. And expanding on that, they also said get ready for mass graves.
Well, the Daily Newscaster has done a lot of stories about how Congress and appointed officials and elected officials are doing exactly the opposite of what the people want. In polls, people will say 80-90% they're against particular financial bailouts. They'll say in polls, there was a recent CNN poll, 96% out of over 1,200,000 respondents said, we believe the Second Amendment gives us the right to carry a firearm. It's a personal individual right. That's 96% of the population. But when you get into the controlled press, you get into the corporate media, that's not the message that you hear. You hear a message that's funded by outside sources.
I agree with you, and we see that in poll after poll. We know the military covertly has been preparing for martial law for decades, preparing for gun confiscation. Now it's all on record with the Army Times coming out and NORTHCOM announcing that they'll remove the governors under new orders and a new million-person civilian army that Obama called for. The Army has now signed the directive, Defense Department Directive 140410. That's 14,004. It's 14,004.10. I mean, it's all happening. This is a more organized takeover than even what we saw with Hitler or Lenin. Can you speak to that? The entire battle formation we see forming against us.
Well, you know, I am just very concerned about the existence of NORTHCOM. NORTHCOM it should not exist. The fact that it exists, that if people want a smoking gun, that there is martial law already, that it has been implemented, NORTHCOM, just go to their website. That's the proof. Because what is martial law? It is not necessarily a hot shootout on the streets. Martial law is a system of government. It's an administrative command and control process. Well, if that's the case, then we're experiencing martial law right now, and you don't need to go any further than NORTHCOM to find out where it's being administered from.
Martial law is extrajudicial outside the regular government elected by the people. It is rule by a military form of government for an elite, and that's exactly what NORTHCOM is.
To a T, it should not exist. In the 80s, when I was in the military, we had serious discussions about issues like this, and we would have been abhorred, just totally opposed to such an organization even existing.
Well, that's right. In the World War One, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and it started changing in the late 80s. Everybody was sat down and explained, you don't follow an order to take guns. You don't follow an order to put people in camps. You don't follow orders, you know, for this. And now it's the opposite.
It was explained because the chain of command is so critical. It's so important. And people are trained to follow that chain of command without a lot of thought. However, they also drill into you that if you follow an illegal order, you will be punished by the UCMJ. They taught us that the Nuremberg trials proved that I did it because I was ordered to was not a defense.
When we come back, I want to talk about your friends and family and people that are still in the military who have gotten out, where they stand, what percentage you think of the Republic, the people under arms will defend the Republic, and how you see this playing out, more on the mass graves that they're preparing and the rest of it, the incinerators, according to the Rocky Mountain News. And then your phone calls throughout the hour at 1-800-259-9231. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Deadlines and commitments. What to leave in, what to leave out.
Against the wind, we were running.
We are back live. You know, we're not running against the wind, though, against this tyranny. We don't have a choice. And tyranny always outrages the people. It always starts collapsing. And so it's going to collapse. The criminals can't help themselves but to steal everything they didn't nail down, and then some. And so this is the job we've got to do. Continuing, talking to military people, you know, talking to folks, you know, as a reporter, talking to people that are still in the military or have gotten out, what percentage of people would you say are awake, and what's their view on what's going on? Because now it is becoming mainstream knowledge that martial law pretty much is already in place, and that it's just being ratcheted down and nailed down right now.
I'll answer your question, Alex, but first, before I came on, I heard you talking about keeping a taser or something in your car.
Yes.
You know, the best thing to keep in your car are road flares. Great multi-purpose tool. Anyways, basically what I think is happening with most people that are in the military, whether they're retired or current active duty, you know, they're aware of what's going on. It's a difficult situation because they're not necessarily involved in all the things that we discuss or write about. You know, they'll be involved in things that are completely normal and acceptable to them. So from their point of view, it's not like they're doing something bad or evil against the country. That's the first thing people really have to understand, because I think a lot of people want to criticize our armed services personnel a little too quickly without really knowing their situation.
Well, I mean, most of the propaganda isn't even focused at the public. It's about slowly twisting the police, slowly twisting the military, slowly conditioning them. You know, we talked Sunday about the example of how they would have EOD, ordnance disposal, explosives disposal people, as the first liaisons with local police, because that sounded reasonable. Next, it's, hey, we'll help you in warrant service. And I have the documents. They do that covertly, the Army and also the Marines. It's highly illegal, but it's going on. So they get them into this slowly, and they test and see what'll work on the troops.
Well, what you're talking about are all symptoms of the administration of martial law. That's how martial law is administered. What do people think they're seeing? You're just literally pointing out how martial law works. It's not people, you know, a lot of people want to envision something that comes out of a Hollywood movie or, you know, the worst part of World War II and pre-World War II. It doesn't even have to get to that point. You can live under a velvet glove. And I think we're under the velvet glove right now.
But as people riot and things break down by design, the velvet starts to rip around the iron fist.
Well, you know, that's my great concern, because that's the crux of it, isn't it? How and if and when do things go to the next level? And who controls that, whether they control the act or they control the propaganda? You know, you talk about the founding fathers. You look at someone like Samuel Adams. He's someone that knew when a nexus in history happened, for example, like the Boston Massacre. It was Samuel Adams that took that information and turned it into a propaganda victory for the Patriots. So when those points happen, it's real critical to be able to control the outcome of that event. And that is what I'm concerned about, because I'm not sure what that event could be. There are some possibilities out there. I'm actually doing some research on some historical research on the Detroit riots from, I can't remember if it was 67 or 68. And, the reason I'm looking into that, I'm going to write more about that on the Daily Newscaster later this week, is because an event, here's what happened in I believe the summer of 67. There were some people, some U.S. citizens, enjoying unlicensed beverages on private property. The state enforcement agents came to that location, and a melee ensued after that point. Well, it grew into what was referred to by the press as a riot. But basically what we had is we had private individuals that weren't harming anyone, minding their own business, and they were harassed by the state. And then that was turned into an incident to take down, to declare martial law, because that's precisely what happened that day.
Let's talk more about that when we get back with our guest, D.H. Williams, writes for the Daily Newscaster. I'm Alex Jones. Our websites are InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. We'll come back, get more into how this could unfold, and how we win the info war against the globalists, who are our mortal enemies.
Some folks rocks are born, make the way to fly.
Williams, we're going to go back to him in a moment and start opening the phones up at 1-800-259-9231. Before we go back to our guest, I do want to encourage listeners to not wait. The info war is key. We're about to get into that. The Congress has an 11% approval rating. The only person that has a high approval rating is Barack Obama because he's seen as an outsider because of the color of his skin. It's a branding bait and switch. It's very cruel. Hoax that the establishment has played. We absolutely have to expose that he's controlled by the same people that George Bush was controlled by. And that's what the Obama deception gets into. The website is theobamadeception.net. You can pre-order the DVD. It's going to ship out March 15th. It'll also be available at prisonplanet.tv. And the orders go out in the order they're received. So the first ones that will be shipped out will be those that pre-ordered coming up on March 15th, so get your order in at Infowars.com for the Obama Deception. The other films we're carrying currently, like all the films I've made, Endgame, Terror Storm, Truth Rising, Fabled Enemies that Burma's produced under our label. Of course, Eye of the Phoenix, great new film out. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. We've, by the way, redesigned and expanded the Obama Deception, and it is theobamadeception.net. We already had a great site up there, but it's even been expanded and redesigned, so be sure and go check out theobamadeception.net. Speaking of sponsors, I'm going to tell you about Survival Seed Bank. The great folks at Survival Seed Bank. In a real crisis, having non-hybrid seeds means having the ability to grow an endless supply of nutrient-dense food to feed your loved ones. There have been times in American history, pilgrims, for example, when seeds had the highest value of any bartered item, even silver or gold. There's a huge war on against non-hybrid seeds waged by the global elite who want to control us by controlling the food supply. Governments are storing seeds. The UN is storing seeds. Globalists of every stripe are storing seeds near the Arctic Circle and these seed banks. Why do you think this is? You know why? Control and power. Solutions from Science is trying to get seeds out of the globalist hands into the hands of the people, one seed bank at a time, one family at a time. So check out survivalseedbank.com. From Solutions from Science, contains enough open pollinated seeds to plant a full acre of a crisis garden. SurvivalSeedBank.com or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That number again, 877-327-0365. All right, going back to D.H. Williams, we were talking about propaganda. And people think of propaganda in a bad connotation. Propaganda just means putting out information that is positive to your political view or your military view or your economic view. Black propaganda, is lying or setting your enemy up or telling lies. So that is what we think of as normal propaganda, as black propaganda. But it was wrong the British were going around confiscating guns and raping people and stealing and pillaging and ignoring the legislatures. And the founders, for more than a decade, with pamphlets printed off little printing presses, being arrested, being beat up, going through hell on earth, they exposed what was going on. And remember, folks, lost at, what was it, Lexington, but won at Concord. The whole point was, is the war was on. We want to avert that. But I have to tell you, the globalists are so unpopular that if it does become physical, I don't see them being successful unless they can stage riots through economic calamity where the public, if I got people rioting in my neighborhood, I'd almost want the military there. But see, then that sets the precedent. So this is how they craft and stage all of this where it can be rolled out. And that's how I see it being done, or a biological release, more terror attacks. I see that coming off the back burner to the forward burner. Speak about that, D.H. Williams.
Samuel Adams once said that you put your enemy in the wrong and you keep them there. He understood how to turn a phrase. He understood how to get a message out. Yeah, propaganda, a lot of people, they want to say it's good or bad. It's neither. It doesn't really. It depends on how it's used. But the reason I brought that up is it's so important that open media, what I call the new mainstream media, radio shows like yourself, various websites, there's a video simulcast on the web. The internet's becoming television now. there's a lot of different sources, because it's going to be critical, if you study history, it's going to be critical to control the information as events happen.
And that's why they're moving, the New York Times admitting, to shut down the web as we know it, force all our sites off. That's why people shouldn't just use the web. They should do that, but also use on the ground copies of DVDs, pamphlets, meetings. We need to have on the ground and build that infrastructure now.
Yeah, they need to use the meetups that were used so great, so well during the last presidential campaign. You know, people need to get out and meet their neighbors. You know, what are the 10 people on their street? Do they know them by name? You know, you don't have to get in their business. You can just introduce yourself and say hello. You know, we need to break free from our television. You know, I know that's something that I've done almost completely because, frankly, it's hard to watch the media that is funded and controlled by large foundations with very specific interest, and they literally they're openly infotainment. The news stations openly claim now to be in the infotainment business. They don't even claim to be journalists or to have integrity or to be objective or to even bring you the comprehensive news. They don't even claim to do that. So why do we expect them to?
Well, the Pentagon's funding tens of billions in fake news. Every federal agency is. I mean, that's why the mainstream media is in free fall right now.
Wow, I read that. $46 billion the Pentagon's going to spend on improving their image. You know, I'm still trying to find that website to apply to because, you know, who wouldn't want some of that $46 billion? But joking aside, I mean, that should tell people right there that the information they're getting is created. It's not.
That's a giant war chest of brainwashing and payoffs.
It really is. And, you know, you have to understand that, you know, this is what they do. This is not mystical. It's not magical. It's not something that, oh, our government wouldn't do it. You know, again, go to Fort Bragg right there. What do you have? You have the 4th Special Psychological Operations Battalion. Okay, it's right in your face. On their crest, their motto is verbum vincet, which is Latin for the word conquers.
Absolutely, and they say the main battlefield is the human mind.
It really is. And again, I know you talk about, I've heard your show in the past, and you brought up what the founders did, what Samuel Adams and his crew did in Boston in, you know, late 1750s all the way up into the 1770s. And what they did was they wrote in newspapers. They put out pamphlets. Newspapers then were basically just one piece, you know, a one-piece document.
It's a broadsheet.
Yeah, but they wrote constantly, usually under different pen names, although everyone knew who they were. They had meetings with different groups constantly. When things happened, they controlled the press or around those events.
Well, let's be clear. There were more Tory pro-empire papers, but people learned that was a bunch of bull. They wanted
were more Tories. Another thing people misunderstand about the colonial days, the pre-revolutionary days, is there were no Americans in the colonies. They were only British subjects. Most of them, their greatest desire was to become wealthy and return to England, not to stay and build a new country. That really wasn't most people. It was not their objective. So the Patriots were fighting an uphill battle. The Tories were, you know, the majority of the population. Particularly when the wind would blow that way, you know, more of the population would go that way. You know, later as the Patriots looked like they had an opportunity to win, you know, they had more converts, of course.
Beautifully said, and they were committed, and they weren't going to back down, and the arrogance of the establishment is what in the end brought them down. The British had never been defeated up until that time. The globalists, I see them in a weaker position than the British were here in the colonies, because the people were British. Over 80% were Tory.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the real unknown story of that time period. This was a revolt of British citizens against the British king. This was not Americans fighting. This was not a foreign war. This was an internal battle. This was an internal revolution. We're in a much better position now than those folks were.
Well, I've studied Greek revolutions, Roman revolutions, countless others. There's very few that are legitimate. Our revolution was, not perfect, but was the greatest example ever. because they wanted to make George Washington king. He said no, and after two terms, he said, I'm going back to my farm to grow hemp and tobacco, and he left. I mean, these really were amazing people. I mean, you know,
He set the stage for that. I mean, you know, there was a time, and I can't recall the story perfectly. If someone wants to read a great book, I would recommend. I slipped my mind. I'll think of it in a moment. But you know, there was a time when, in General Washington's soldiers, when his officers wanted to revolt, they wanted to take over the government. And he had a speech, talk with them in a small, I can't remember if it was a schoolroom or a church. Usually they were, you know, both used for the same purposes. And a very sensitive personal speech. And after the speech, they had changed their mind. You know, if it wasn't for George Washington, we would probably have ended up with, you know, another king immediately after the Revolution.
Absolutely. It's just that's why they love to demonize the founding fathers. I mean, to have this group of historians come out and say Abraham Lincoln was a much greater person than George Washington, as they've been announcing on the news the last 2 days, that is, just for anyone who knows history, so insulting to your intelligence.
Well, most people aren't going to study history. It takes a lot of work. The Men Who Started the American Revolution, that's the name of the book, by A.J. Langeth. The Men Who Started the American Revolution, great book. It's a history from it starts around 1757 and takes you into the formation of the winning of the Revolution. It's a great book. Everything the founding fathers did was heavily documented. They wrote in papers. They wrote letters to each other. People wrote about them. We know virtually everything about them, but yet very little of that information bubbles up into pop culture. You know, one of the things that always strikes me as odd is if you mention Samuel Adams to some people, the first thing they'll associate it with is beer. When in reality, he never brewed any beer. You know, his father was a maltster. He made malt. He sold it to people who brewed beer. Samuel inherited that money upon his father's death. Not caring about money, he was a bad money manager. He loaned half the money to a friend, never to be seen again, and then he mismanaged and spent the other half. His time was spent fermenting revolution. That's what he was passionate about. His job, matter of fact, he was the British tax collector for Boston. He didn't make beer.
Absolutely. I want to go to some phone calls. They'll be all over the map. But going back to people you talk to and engaging what's going on in the military, I mean, they can see outside the compartmentalization. Now it's announced, meaning, you know, when they start announcing they're getting ready for physical martial law, that means they're considering engaging it. You know, they wouldn't uncloak their operation if they weren't. Can you speak to that?
Well, not really to specifics. You know, I don't know what's in their mind. I can't, you know, I'm not privy to the inside plans. I'm just seeing it form from the outside, you know, doing the analysis, putting the pieces together. I can tell you that all levels, from young enlisted personnel to senior NCOs to officers, note something is wrong. Even if they're not familiar with all the information, they know when they're in Iraq, you know, guarding a cement factory that doesn't make cement, that something's wrong. So it's they all know something's wrong. Where that's going to lead to, I know that's the answer you're looking for. I don't know. I think what's important is that we're aware of what's happening and that we try to influence where things are going to go to. And I think people need to really get out there and why we have the opportunities. Push the information out there. If you're a municipal official and you're involved in these meetings, start sharing the information. Make YouTube videos. Get in touch with different websites.
That's right. We need to be in the fight. And if people want some tailored, exact blueprint, folks, use your own mind. Targets of opportunity in the info war. Don't sit on the fence, folks. That's where you're going to get run over. You need to be in the fight. Get in the fight. Continue with how we get in the fight.
Well, I think the way we do that is first is you get out and you support people who are already doing it. If you can, you know, buy the movies. I've actually just recently found some of your movies on Google. I wasn't aware that you've done so many documentaries. Some real interesting stuff. I can It's a side subject, but something really interesting happened while I was watching one of your movies the other night. Get active. Get out and get involved on the street level. I mean, just do something. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have any special knowledge or experience if you have desire, because you'll learn everything that you need to do. So please get out there. You can support us at the Daily Newscaster. This is a money-losing venture. We do this because we want to get the information out. You know, I've been reading and studying open-source information, doing some analysis, trying to come up with an idea of the direction it's going. You know, I don't have the inside answer. I don't know if anyone does. But you can get an idea of how events are materializing.
No, I agree.
And
forecasting that. But you piqued my interest. What happened when you were watching one of the films?
Well, I found a film, and I apologize if I can't remember everything, because I didn't get to watch the whole film. I believe it was called Exposing Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove.
Dark Secrets, yes. Well, I was at the segment where they're having the ceremony called the Cremation of Care, very elaborate ceremony, in the Redwood Forest, the beautiful Redwood Forest. And my relative was here, who has a five-year theological degree, has a master's in divinity, where he's basically a religious historian. He studied religions and, you know, really knows them from a historical perspective. Well, he was just came by for a brief moment. He didn't have a lot of time. I was watching your video on my monitor, and I showed him about 40 seconds of that elaborate ceremony. He did not know where the video came from. He didn't know the context of it. He had never seen it before. I turned it off because he had to go, and he looked at me, and he said, you know, that is a druidic absolution ritual. It's very satanic. Where does that come from? And, you know, I told him a little bit about the background of where it was, and he was just floored by that information.
Well, that's what Helmut Schmidt, the German chancellor, in his book wrote. It is a druidic ritual by absolution, like we go to Christ to be washed in the blood. It takes all the evil things they've done. They believe in karma, and it puts it off onto the child they kill.
It's absolutely frightening, and apparently it's a historical ritual that's, you know, like I said, my uncle has a five-year degree and is basically a religious historian, and they picked it right up.
Yeah. Well, we infiltrated July 15th, 2000, the only people to do it. One other guy got some footage out. He's in prison right now.
Wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday. When a man could still work, still would. It's the best of the free life behind us now. And are the good times really over for good?
That's up to you, everybody out there.
And I will roll down here.
You know, I think about all the things, thanks to my family, people that work with me, my wife's support, that we've been able to do, sneaking into Bohemian Grove, getting death threats over it. Then Chris Jones got a job there and shot video. They came and arrested him, set him up, and said they were sending him to prison for it. He's in prison right now in California. I mean, people that do this get killed and go to prison. And thank God I'm prominent, so the enemy doesn't want to move against me, but I have no illusions that they might do it. And I just hope that they imprison me or set me up or kill me, that folks won't feel sorry for me. They'll realize that I did it willingly. I don't want it taken away that I lose if I'm killed or imprisoned. No, I did this willingly. I knew what I was getting into. And it's the tree of liberty is nourished by the blood of patriots and tyrants. I don't want that to happen. I have a lot of work to do. That's in God's hands. But you have to get past the fear if you're going to affect any real change. Before we go to some calls, I'm going to keep you a little bit in the next hour if you can do it, Doug Williams. You know, any comments on commitment? You know, people think that it's courage to fight evil. It would take blind, mindless courage to know what's going on and to not fight it. In my experience, bullies have to be stood up against, and especially people this sick. I mean, my instincts are to fight them. I can't help myself. It doesn't matter how much they threaten me or what they do. I can't help it. I have to do what I do. Your take on that or your view?
It's an absolute impulse. I'm doing it impulsively as well. It's not something I even take pleasure in. There are many times that I wish I wasn't doing it. I get tired of uncovering the information. Giving an example, the latest gun control efforts, the gun grabbing that's going on, the way they're doing it, it is so difficult for me to digest that I have not actually been able to write much about it. So I would rather be doing something else. I would rather be disproving all this and being right about it. But that's just, you know, that's just not the truth. You know, I have to be true to myself and the information's real. So now what do we do about it? Well, here's what I want to do about it. I want to find a peaceful resolution, a peaceful way to turn the tide, because, you know, a lot of people like to call themselves revolutionaries and we're part of the revolution and identify with the patriots and the early revolution, but we're actually the counter-revolutionaries here. We want things to go back the way they're supposed to be. Not even back, but we just want them to be the way they're supposed to be now. Go back to the rule of law where everyone is, you know, follows the same system of justice, where justice can be applied equally, where, you know, individual liberty is the highest calling, not, you know, state government and federal control.
Yeah, for a lot of people, you know, they don't really fight the New World Order. It's kind of like they're in a club or they're into this and it's all fun. And then I see a lot of those folks when they get tested, they freak out. You know, they lose it. They cower. You don't go into this like it's a game or a joke or you're playing tiddlywinks, folks. This is toe-to-toe combat with the most psychopathic, demonic killers the world's ever seen. And the reason we fight them is because we don't have a choice. They're not giving us quarter. Your call straight ahead. The globalists create the crisis, and then they say to the public, set up a world government, and we can end this destructive conflict and have an age of peace.
We will have peace? Oh, yes.
All right, D.H. Williams is our guest. We're going to your phone calls all over the map. Patriot, Walter, Mike, Osborne, Greg. Patriot in Wisconsin. You're on the air worldwide.
Hi, Alex. I don't need to change topics, but...
We're all over the map. Any topic's fine.
You were talking about religion yesterday.
Yes.
I want to know if you know anything about the secular humanists or any of these other atheist groups, because last summer I was at a humanist conference in Washington, D.C., and I basically went there to learn about them. And it turns out they're very much... Well, actually, the Humanist Manifesto is explicitly socialist, and everybody at the conference, they were talking about the United Nations and the UN's Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and they were very much globalists. And
Are you on a speakerphone?
I'm in a kind of a hallway that's echoing. So,
okay, I just look. That's the thing. In all cases, I found that the leaders of secular humanists. The leaders of the eugenics movement, they're all the same, the transhumanist. They're always for world government. They're always for the scientific man engineered by them. They're always control freaks. And they're always involved in the occult. And to their lower minions, they say the occult doesn't exist or, you know, God doesn't exist. But they are trying to keep them in the dark. So, you know, that's what the occult is. It means secrecy. It's compartmentalized. Whether system symbol is a pyramid. And so, it's all UN, global government. And then those very humanist websites write articles about me saying Jones is insane. World government doesn't exist. Meanwhile, you go to their meetings. That's what they're pushing. I revel in waking people up, unlocking minds, you know, letting people expand their horizons, you know, freeing them, and you know, once the process is done, they're on their own. But there are other people who learn about the New World Order who are power hungry. The term satanic, we think of a guy in a red suit, with human sacrifice, but really, it's about dominating innocence. That's why they sacrifice a baby. It's about going past their human instincts. It's about getting into evil. It's about controlling others, lying to others, screwing others, tying others down, dominating others. It is just really, really control freak, wicked, weak people who only seek after power. You want to comment on that, Mr. Williams?
Well, you know, it's scary how many people that lack empathy and have compulsions that seem to rise to the top. You see that a lot in law enforcement and clergy as well. It seems people who have, that have moral chaos, internal moral chaos, tend to seek positions of power where they can hold morality over others. It's a scary situation.
And I will say this, growing up, you know, all of us swerve into the dark side and experience it in life. At least most of us, I think, have, or who are conscious, we, you know they have, everybody does. The engine of evil, the engine of darkness is incredibly weak. It's just willing to cheat and lie and steal so it has an ace in the hole. In my experience, I would be much more concerned about someone who has passion and love and empathy, because those are people who have unlimited internal power. And so the Satanists are looking for power. They never knew the real power is in love and honor. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, I absolutely do. All foundations, all relationships are based on the foundation of trust. Once you destroy that trust, you've destroyed that relationship. It doesn't matter if it's between you and your grocer, you and your employees, you and your wife, you and your children. It's all based on trust. And how can you have trust if you've got, if you're harming somebody, if you're being deceptive?
And that's why they love to corner the weak, the meek, the small, the innocent, and they just love tearing them to pieces. Well, I don't love fighting the enemy, but I will put them down, and that is my goal. We'll be right back. Thank you, Patriot in Wisconsin. Walter and others, your call straight ahead.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We have 52 minutes left in this transmission. We got reporter for the dailynewscaster.com, Doug Williams, with us, taking your phone calls. Walter in Connecticut, Skull and Bones country. You're on the air, Walter. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Alex. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Loud and clear.
Oh, great show. I'd like to talk about putting some teeth in this 10th Amendment resolutions that are going around now. I'm working, I'm the founder of the Committees of Safety, and we're working closely with Dr. Edwin Vieira on reclaiming these two ancient powers, the power of the purse and the power of the sword.
That's a note. Before I forget, tell Joey, Dr. Edwin Vieira, we've had him on before, he's in the computer, Dr. Edwin Vieira. Before I forget, I want Dr. Edwin Vieira back on.
Yes, we just had a Committee of Safety meeting in Connecticut last month with Dr. Edwin Vieira. We had a few state legislators there.
We had him on a few months ago about the state's rights issue.
Yes, it was a great show, Alex, with you. We have it up on our website, that interview with you.
Oh, give out the website.
It's committeesofsafety.org, and what we're doing, we're writing, with Edwin's help, statutes to reclaim these two ancient powers, the power of the purse, which Edwin wrote the template for up in New Hampshire, the sound money bills. And there's at least four states now that have implemented those sound money bills, like Indiana, I think Colorado. There's a number of them that are doing that. And we're going to be writing the statutes to revitalize the constitutional state militia, and the structure will be from the bottom up. and the officers and everything. But that's what the committees of safety are focusing on, those two ancient powers that need to be reclaimed by we the people.
Absolutely. Let's get Mr. Williams' comment on that.
Wow, that's some really great work that you're doing there. I mean, that is what we're supposed to be doing. You know, that's really why I put the uniform on in the very beginning, was because I believed in, not in symbols, not in authorities, but in a document called the United States Constitution and the Civil Rights, the first 10 amendments. And if we don't exercise these powers, if we don't make them real in our daily lives,
they die.
Well, then that's what's been happening. And so, what you're doing, sir, is fantastic. I mean, that is what's going to turn the tide.
Yeah, it's like muscles, and you know, the first time you go speak at city council about an issue, the first time you call into a talk show, the first time you set up a website, the first time you decide to make a film, you know, just believe in yourself and know that it's so exciting that if the people just move, that it's an unstoppable force. Anything else, caller?
What we're going to be doing is doing a massive petition drive to put the state legislators to sponsor these bills.
Yep.
and get that power behind it.
Well, this is the animating contest of liberty, folks. And the reason so many of you feel like you're dead is because you're not in the animated contest for liberty. There's always a contest for liberty. There's always thugs and crooks and slime balls and groups that want to use you and control you and suck off of you and make you a slave. So I want folks in Connecticut and all over to get involved with you guys and Dr. Edwin Vieira, as we did a few months ago with him, with this whole states' rights issue. And we were really trying to fire this up. So again, tell folks how they get in contact, how they breathe life into this and animate it.
Thank you. It's committeesofsafety.org, and we have members in all 50 states, and it's I'm excited about it. I think we can really win this battle.
Well done.
I appreciate everything you're doing, Alex, and your guest. It's great. So,
I appreciate your call. Very exciting. Let's go ahead and talk to Mike in Australia. The land down under had some arsonists running around. Now the army's got folks in camps. Welcome, sir.
Hello and good day, Mr. Jones. I wanted to talk about... I wanted to ask you if it's possible to print some T-shirts with sheep on them and write... comment like, we don't need no sheeple, and link to Infowars.com.
Sure, we're actually coming out with a T-shirt that shows a whole bunch of sheep on it, and they're all saying Obama, Obama. But yeah, I mean, whatever, just folks, I mean, people, a lot of people put Infowars.com on shirts, and there's hundreds of sites, not just ours, selling shirts that say it, and I'm all for it. It's all about the Infowar.
Okay, so it's a good idea to spread this word.
Yes, sir. Are you a European immigrant, a recent European immigrant to Australia?
No, I'm not from Australia. I'm from Austria.
Oh, you know what? You know what? That's what I thought. They put on my screen Australia, and it's Austria. So I apologize. They got that wrong. I thought so. So how are things going over?
There's a second question.
Sure, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, because of the new world order, it really is a new world order, a worldwide shield, if you can say so. What I'm interested in is it really one family or one force, or are there more people and trying to fight with each other? Like, is it a game that's already over, or...
Well let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen the movie The Godfather?
Yes, I think so.
Now, you know, Godfather 1 with Marlon Brando.
I think I've seen it, but I can't remember.
Okay,
right,
well, that's a composite of real things that happened. They just changed the names. Mario Puzo's on record with that. You know, the singer's really Frank Sinatra and things like that. Notice how you've got these 12 families meeting at a commission meeting in a big boardroom. Yeah. And they kill each other. They have wars occasionally. They're jockeying for power, but they're all intermarried in this, you know, same group. And they have commission meetings once a year to decide things, you know, to fix disputes, but they keep the rackets going, the prostitution, the drug dealing, you know, the gambling on the sheeple. So they have their fights, but overall they have their rackets and their systems and their scams, and that's what Bilderberg Trilateral Commission, CFR, is. That's what they're doing. And I've studied the makeup of the New World Order. You have a bunch of British and German royal family elites that are, you know, control the Dutch royal family as well. They're intermarried with the Rothschilds, so it's indistinguishable. And there's some new money like Bill Gates and others out there, but they're low level compared to these people. And yes, they control and dominate much of the world. They're mopping up a few, quote, rogue nations right now. And they let's get Mr. Williams' comment on that from our caller from Austria. Go ahead.
What do you want me to answer? What the New World Order looks like, or
I mean, it's makeup from your research.
Well, you know, it seems to be precisely what you say it is. I mean, it's something that's been going on for hundreds of years. It's an administration. If people have a hard time visualizing what it is, it's a system of administration controlled by special interest. Those special interests happen to be the moneyed elite that have political control and military control and economic controls and kind of put, you know, force their will upon us.
Yeah, that's the nature of power in history. This is a very sinister elite. And as David Rockefeller said, you know, they want a world government for the administrative convenience of international bankers, which is better than the auto determination of nation states in the past. I mean, that's a butchering of his quote, but it's very close. I mean, they're on record saying this, and now they've imploded the world market, and they're saying the answer is a new global bank that rules every nation and controls everything we do. I mean, we're here.
These are plans. These people make plans for long periods of time to control things. They have nothing but time and money to make plans. You know, people should not be surprised that they're doing this. It always cracks me up when someone says, well, that intricate plan, that information you're talking about, that sounds like a conspiracy because I don't understand it. Well, what is a conspiracy? It's two or more people privately and secretly hatching an illegal act. So should we be surprised that this is going on? I don't think so.
Absolutely. Does that answer your question, Mike from Austria?
Yes, of course. I think it's really a shame that so many people in Europe and in America are not aware of this behind-the-scenes government, and people should notice that.
Well, that's the key weakness for the New World Order. It's also their strength. As long as we're looking at Tony Blair or Gordon Brown, or as long as we're looking at Merkel or Sarkozy, as long as we're focused on Benjamin Netanyahu, we never get past them to the bureaucracy controlled by the big money power, you know, these interlocking corporations and banks. And so politicians can come and go. We can expose a politician as a liar and bad. They pull George Bush out, put in Barack Obama. We'll expose him over the next 4 to 8 years. They'll remove him, put in a new puppet. And you know, that's their weakness, because we can expose the real power behind the throne. And this parlor trick of them saying we don't exist when they're out in the open isn't going to work anymore. Mr. Williams?
Well, I think that's exactly right. I mean, that trick is breaking down. It's working on some. The people it works on are people who don't really read a lot, people that don't go to the internet for their news, look at, you know, alternative sources, or not even alternative, but just world sources, like The Guardian or Haaretz, or even Al Jazeera English can be a good source. Russia Today. You got to go out and you got to look at some different sources. Pull the information together, compare them, and say, you know, what's really happening here? And then compare it to what the television.
And then as you study news over the years, you get a larger global model and have more data, and then you can understand what they're doing, understand their agenda.
If you want to figure that out, just go rent the movie 3 Days of a Condor with Robert Redford. He's an analyst for the CIA. That's what he does for a living.
You know what, Mr. Williams? Let's do some more. Let's take some more calls. Stay with us.
saw the photograph. He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Going to have our guests with us about 40 after them, and then run through a big news blitz of news I haven't gotten to yet. Still taking your phone calls till the end of the transmission. Mike in Austria was still holding. He had something else he wanted to say. Are you done, Mike? Any other questions or comments?
Yes, I have another comment. Because the world government is telling you what they are doing, you just have to read between the lines if you... look in Western media, they are all under one line, and if you read between the lines, they tell you what they will do. So, and also I would like to advise you, Americans, to be a little bit cautious. If you are a freedom fighter, you have to protect yourself, because the New World Order really knows what, has lots of new weapons and technologies, and they can kill you if they like.
Well, that's the cost of liberty. No guts, no glory, but you're right. Okay, let's go ahead and take another call. Osborne in Missouri, you're on the air. Or is that Montana?
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I just had a quick, question. It seems like, I mean, Alex, I know you don't like to talk about this movement being culminated in any kind of, like, armed conflict, and I know I would hate to see it go to that level. I actually watched the movie The Patriot the other day. I know you've spoken about it. And I hear a lot of people talking and identifying with the sentiments of the Founding Fathers and such. And it seemed like the Continental Army, they did have good luck with the British. It seemed like they had comparable weapons, the mortars, the muskets, if you will. Nowadays, we might have a pretty well-armed civilian squad, if you will, but, you know, we don't have Predator drones with Hellfire missiles and Apaches, and it's like, I'm saying, if it gets to that level, I mean, is there even a chance?
All right, let's just stop right there. Number one, the colonial army and the militias had a better long rifle that could shoot further with better accuracy. The British were just trained to aim with their muskets and shoot, you know, in large formations, blasting each other, but they 3, 4, 5, in some battles, 10, 11, 12 times the numbers of the rebels, you know, of our ancestors. And it was the willingness to keep fighting, keep resisting, and guerrilla warfare. And remember, the military, many people are on our side. It's a info war. It's a propaganda war. If they're able to roll out their police state through riots that are staged to make it look good in phase one, then they're going to have success. It's the info war, the info war, the info war. I mean, let's get real. If things, you know, got to the physical level, other people just have to have a battle plan in mind that, you know, well, 6 months into something, you know, those helicopters have to land, or these people have to go to bars at night. I mean, come on. If millions of gun owners actually decide, it'll be like moose hunting season, as Mark Kornke always says, where there's a lottery and only 1 out of 10 people gets a moose license. I mean, if we had the will to actually go up against the military, we would trash them from one end to the other. We're not Iraqis, who historically aren't the best shots in the you know, field. I don't want that. I don't have some cojones need to, I can't wait to get a shooting war going. But just like The Patriot, which is based on a composite of true stories and real things that happen, burning folks up in churches, you know, all of it. People, the government's going to kill people's children. They're going to kill the wrong people's children, okay? And then people are just going to go off. And then the feds are going to go into bunker mentality, and the local police, you're not going to see them on the road. This is cowardice. The New World Order's people are cowards. You want to comment on that, Mr. Williams?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with the back end of that about certain people being cowards. There's a lot of those. Here's what I see happening. Number one, I wouldn't advocate any kind of violence. This is an information war. Number two, if something happens, it's going to happen. It's going to be a small regional or localized incident. It's not going to be pretty. There could be casualties. There'll probably be casualties. And then the news of that event will travel. And then depending on how that news travels and the response to that news is going to determine what happens next. And that's the critical point where people of good conscience have to act. and the right decisions have to be made, because open conflict with the military or the police is not something I don't think anybody's advocating.
Yeah, we want to have the police on our side. We want to have the military on our side. So when the globalists sample the mindset of their forces, they realize it's not their forces. They're our forces, we the people.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
Reality is reality, and we've studied it. I know what's going on. I have their own documents, their plans. All our predictions have come true. We've been accurate about where the world was going. It wasn't very hard. We were reading globalist stone white papers on what they were setting up, what they were doing. These cameras, the cameras in the schools, the street corners, the whole grid is to control the population. This is illegitimate. This is a foreign offshore banking group openly bankrupting the country and enslaving us and wanting to use the military and police to oppress a legitimate political movement to rectify those problems. We are under martial law, as our guest formerly with Special Forces and a reporter is explaining to you. This is real. We're in martial law. It's what Richter scale from 1 to 10. I wrote in 1998 that it was a 3.6 on the Richter scale. I wrote an article with Ed Homan. It's martial law, and it's a 3.6 on the Richter scale. We're now at about a 5 to a 6, and it doubles each time. I would say an 8.5 is troops on the streets, people being secretly arrested, the rest of it. A 10 is what you had in Berlin with the fall of 1945. So, you know, the choice is for you to make out there. Police, military, your whole future is being destroyed by these people. They're enslaving you and your family. You're in the boat with us, whether you know it or not, whether you bought the mind game that you're with the establishment or you're compartmentalized and don't know, you know, but I had police and military call me and go, none of it made sense till now I heard you and I checked it out. It's true. You know, what we're telling you is the truth. As close as you're going to get to it. Am I infallible? Do I make mistakes? Yes, but frankly, it's much worse than we even say here on air. People accuse me of exaggerating. It's actually the opposite. So, I mean, that said, I want to take a few final calls with our guest. Any comments to what I was just saying there, Mr. Williams?
Yes, listeners should not wait for an invitation to an internment camp. They're under the administrative control of a centralized government right now. So it's already happened. It's
the whole country's a camp.
Exactly. I mean, you're under surveillance.
Look at the financials with the banking and the Patriot Act compliance. It's a total tracking grid.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's here and it's now. So, I mean, we have to act now while we can before it is too late. I mean, it can be pushed back. It really can. I honestly believe that. But a lot of people are going to have to take action and really get involved. I mean, that's the whole reason I'm doing this. I would rather be doing something else. You know, I could be, believe me, it's not profitable running a website. So I could be doing something else. But right now, this is what we need to be doing.
Well, you need to make what you do profitable. That's one of the most important parts of this is the enemy somehow done a mind trick on us where we're not supposed to sell books or videos. I'm not saying you're saying this, but we're not supposed to be profitable. We're not supposed to be able to expand. We're supposed to be under a bridge yelling at passing cars. No, we need to take over the system. We need to expand what we're doing. We need to shoot high. We need to aim for, you know, huge goals. And by aiming high, we will, you know, have greater and greater successes and get to that goal. I mean, all I've seen is our success when we engage.
That's absolutely that's it. That's the key. That's what we need to do. And you're right. We, you know, get involved, engage.
Take a few final calls here for our guests. I'm doing a news blitz and more calls. Let's talk to Greg in Michigan. You're on the air, sir.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Hi, Greg.
I want to first for how you guys doing. I want to thank both of you for what you're doing. And I also want to let you know that I'm a new Planet TV subscriber.
Thank you for the support.
My question is about action. You guys were just talking about taking action. What happened to me, and what I find that most people are doing out there, is they're so caught up in their jobs and their everyday lives trying to just get by that they don't know what's going on.
That's right. So poverty is a tool of control. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So, and I went through a process of first I was on the road in sales and I was listening to NPR News, and that got me interested in independent media. And then from there it was Dish Television Network, and it was Link TV on that, and Free Speech TV, and then eventually to your show. I think it's very, very important that we massively get the information out there as quickly as we possibly can to people that don't know anything that's going on, as I did at one time.
Because now they're ready to hear the truth more than ever.
I think so. With everything that's going on with the economy and stuff like that, people have doubts, and I think they're more open to listening to what is going on. But it's important to me to massively and quickly, mostly with people that I know, get the information to my friends, my family. I've got two granddaughters, and it's important to me that they get this information. My question for you is, what video, in your opinion, and maybe your listeners' opinion, is the one that will make the most impact on a one-shot chance with somebody to get them to look further into this?
Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement.
Okay. That's what I needed to know.
That's my film, but I'm saying it is the best. Overall, of you.
One of the films that impacted me the most was Loose Change.
Yeah, it's excellent, but it's on the 9/11 issue, and of course I produced the final cut, and it's a very important film, and you know, that's a great one to kind of shatter people's paradigms and their illusions. So I agree with that as well. I believe, though, using the hype wave, we should use the fact that they've bet everything on Obama to sell the public on the final takeover. That when the Obama deception comes out, and people can pre-order it now at InfoWars.com, comes out March 15th, that people go crazy with that. Think of the power of tens of thousands of people getting the DVD and buying a DVD burner and buying 100 blanks and making 100 copies and saying, man, this is a very interesting film. Tell me what you think about it. It's nonpartisan. It's about Obama. And then the film's really about how he's just a puppet, and it's really about the banking system and the New World Order and the FEMA camps. I mean, really, and all showing how he's just a front man. But I think the Obama deception is going to really be a powerful tool.
That, and I tell you what, your Prison Planet TV, Alex, just amazing. The studio, the professionalism, the quality of the production, having a guest live on that program and the video streaming on the internet, having that video available for later viewing, that's an incredible, powerful media source. You know, and I think people like yourself are actually becoming the new mainstream media, because if people are wanting real information, you know, they're not turning on their TV set anymore.
But that's why they're moving to shut down the old web with net neutrality, ending that, the taxation, the control. And then notice how they introduced net taxation. Oh, we're going to tax porn. Then you read the next sentence and everything else basically on the web. And that sets up the monitoring, the control, the bureaucracy. We had a tax bureaucrat show up just an hour ago here at the office. They're erecting all these new taxes. And they show up and say, we don't even know what the real rules are. Just pay us what we think or we'll come after you. I mean, it's just, you know, it's out of control. Anything else, Greg?
I just want to urge all of your listeners to get the video, make the copies as you say you are, and massively and quickly get them out there for our own safety. And then I just wanted to ask one question. Is this digital TV conversion situation that's going on have anything to do with the conspiracy?
Okay. That's meant to bankrupt smaller community TV stations and systems. Also, it's admitted mind control with the flicker rate, the way they do television. And yes, the subliminal programming is that much stronger with the digital signal. I've even been in the University of Texas psychology department years ago. I mean, just there they were studying it for the Pentagon. 90% of their research plus was DARPA. And folks, you have got to turn off mainstream television. And I would even spend too much time, you know, overly on the internet. You use the visual medium to wake up those that are in the matrix. But you know, watching limited clips for analysis, whatever, that's fine. But you know, even spending too much time on the web itself, unless you're doing it as an activist tool consciously. I've told the story a couple of falls ago, about a year and a half ago, I was out at my family farm and ranch, and I was with my uncle. And he's aware of the New World Order, an Army veteran, helicopter pilot, all that stuff, Vietnam. And he's watching sports, college football. You know, that's all he watches, TV. And I said, do you see that subliminal, Uncle? And Uncle Biff, and he said, no. And because he was unconscious, he was sitting there watching TV. And I said, okay, you got to be conscious. It comes up about every minute. They flash for about half a second or less than half a second, different Miller Lite, Home Depot ads. And that is subliminal. It's not a mistake. And I said, watch. And about five times, he couldn't get himself conscious. And I said, okay, here it is. Here it is. Open your eyes. Focus, focus, focus. And he went, oh man, I saw it. And that's because it takes about 45 minutes on average, depending on the studies, with old TV. Now it's faster. The first time you watch it, to go into a lower dream state. I mean, they hook electrodes on. It's a fact. You go into a dream state, a subconscious level where everything's going through, just the flicker rate alone. You know, it's like the flashing light for hypnotism. Now, when they add in all the other stuff, it just compounds it. So what happens is, after you've watched TV a lot, within a few seconds, you go into that couch potato mode. And it doesn't matter if in the conscious mind you're aware of the New World Order. Now you're being bombarded. You're being acclimated. You can't help but smile back at the info babe who's making all these sexual overtures, like she wants to mate with you. But it's really just a television set and a woman in New York or Chicago or D.C. or L.A. And she's, and they're all laughing and it's fun. And they've got the cute guy for the women to like him. And it's all crafted and all. And there's messages in the sitcoms and the dramas to condition you. And now they've got all these mainstream shows admitting world government secret groups. They're bad. The government's going to nuke you in false flag. That's only done to acclimate the subconscious so that when they hear us talking about the real world, people won't be shocked because they've already had that template run through their mind through all these dramas and through all these programs to where, oh, I've heard of government nuking to get total control before or releasing a bioweapon. That's on TV shows. So you're in a comfortable setting in your home, in your couch, watching TV with a beer, popcorn, or with dinner with your wife and children. And so you're watching horrible things, martial law, the MTV ads where trucks pull up and grab everybody and take them out and throw them in a truck to take them to a camp. That's done to condition you so that when you really see it, you've been subconsciously acclimated because the body has a physical memory of your hormonal level was at a good level, a restful level. You were in a comfortable position with comfortable temperature. So when your mind sees these hard, I mean, you're meant the way humans are designed through our development, that if you see people being grabbed and bashed and killed, that was real. That's what people 50 years ago would get upset by that. It wasn't that they were wimps. It was that they were geared that when you're seeing blood and guts, you're supposed to smell it. You're supposed to have high adrenaline levels. It's combat. It's war. But now you're just going through a video game shooting people and zombies all day and raping prostitutes for extra cash in the games. And you're doing it in a comfortable position, so it's mass programming to where when the real thing happens, you're unable to respond because you've been programmed. You understand?
Much, Alex.
All right, thank you. Do you have any final comments on what I just said, Mr. Williams?
Well, it's just frightening that they think it through so thoroughly, but they do. It's frightening that they give it that much thought.
Well, there is a war on for your mind. That's our motto at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And if that doesn't insult you and upset you, that they've taken over most of your minds, even if you believe you're conscious.
You know, people need to stop watching so much television. I've just about cut it off completely. 30 minutes a day, that's about it.
Absolutely. And then I train myself to consciously make myself stay conscious during it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's a battle, folks. You've got to look away and you've got to stay focused. I mean, it's serious.
Yeah, it's time to re-engage reality. It's time to go out and be involved with your community and be involved in activities. And it doesn't all have to be, scary and, you know, telling people about what's happening. Just engaging your community is going to help things just naturally because that's the right order of things.
Absolutely. If you knock on most of the doors in your town or your neighborhood or you go to city council and talk about issues, they're going to know that when the real thing comes down their street, they're going to remember. And a lot of the seeds that don't sprout right away sprout later. And so that's the key here. Well, We really appreciate you joining us. We appreciate the fine work that the dailynewscaster.com is doing. And we appreciate you coming on the show with us today, Doug Williams. And I look forward to speaking to you again in the future. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, Alex.
You better take care. Good to hear from you. We're going to come back in the final segment, hit a few calls. I want to hit a few news stories right now. This issue of arresting you if you photograph the police in England, now an act of terrorism. Is it a crime to take pictures? But before we dig that out of the stack and do that and talk to Tony and Scott, if we have time, we should. Two more sponsors that made this radio show possible. One of them is My Solar Backup, the great folks from Solutions from Science. A lot of things can cut off your electrical power, hurricanes, snow, ice, and storms. Listeners should move towards getting off the grid, and here is a good way to do just that. A solar power generator is now available from our longtime sponsor, Solutions from Science. It's designed to provide 1,800 watts of power on demand in the event of any disaster or outage. You get an emergency power backup kit, which consists of the Power Source 1800 power plant and high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity. That's right, it generates free electricity. Remember, too, that gas generators need gas, but in a blackout, gas pumps pump gas because they run on electricity. The solar generator is like having a silent power plant hidden in your home. It's perfect for emergency backup for troubled times. The government doesn't own the sun yet, folks, so make your move now. Their website's www.mysolarbackup.com, mysolarbackup.com, or 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365. And I also want to tell you about another great seed company that we have that is a sponsor. That's survivalistseeds.com. The word survivalist, seeds.com. Grow your own healthy food for just 4 pennies a pound and break free from the New World Order. The family business buys in massive bulk and passes those huge discounts on to our listeners. 15,000 heirloom seeds will provide you and your family with 7 years of healthy food. Stop buying and eating New World Order garbage. Grow your own healthy food in your own backyard. That's 15,000 heirloom seeds for a great price. That's real food insurance for difficult times we're already entering. Heirloom seeds are the original varieties, non-GMO, non-hybrid. All the seeds date back to over a century. The Mayflower bean came over on the Mayflower ship. Now survivalistseeds.com wants you to become one of their heirloom seed farmers and sell back to them your safe seeds year after year because demand is skyrocketing for these rare heirloom seeds. You'll also get a DVD teaching you how to sell your vegetable produce to restaurants, delis, and farmers markets. Slaves Hesitate, Patriots Take Action, survivalistseeds.com, a family business that is helping the truth movement prepare. If you can't feed your family, the FEMA camps will, folks, and they won't move with this if they know we're self-sufficient and can live on our own. survivalistseeds.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are entering the final segment. We'll jam in two of your phone calls and then get into one final news story right here on the one, the only GCN Radio Network. I'm Alex Jones, and you want to check out the new, redesigned, expanded TheObamaDeception.net. TheObamaDeception.net. The final segment. Stay the course. Straight ahead. Arizona, go ahead. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Pleasure to speak with you, Alex. I heard you on Coast to Coast last night, and one thing that I noticed about the representatives, of course, I understand there's only so much time on the air in that format. The thing is I noticed that the representatives seem to be concerned a lot with, you know, mandates by the federal government. And there are some other concerns. And for one thing, you know, I have a very dear friend of mine who, because of IRS problems, put a gun in his mouth and pulled the trigger.
And that pleased them.
And there is this tyranny by the IRS and this crazy quilt of a 750,000-word income tax code that's been going on for decades. This has been going on, you know, before Northcom.
Yeah, they've written it where you can't comply with even their unconstitutional fraudulent law. We didn't have an income tax until 1913. Wasn't widely adopted until the 50s. And we do expose that and fight that, and the states need to speak out against that as well.
Yes, yes, they do. Because, you know, because individually, as many have complained about the IRS, there hasn't been really any move. You know,
well, the way to bring them down is to show you write your check to the private Federal Reserve, not even to the IRS. It's a collection agency. And I got to jump. Great points. Call me back in the next few days. We'll talk more about it, Tony. Scott in California, go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Scott from California. I read an article on InfoWars yesterday from Gun Owners of America about the provisions that are in the stimulus package.
Yeah, psychological database of everybody, federalization, $19 billion to federalize all medical records.
Yes, and I just wanted to bring a point that I think might be interesting is if you look at, you know, Nazis in Germany and leftists all over the planet, some of the first things that they do is round up, you know, groups like homosexuals, the mentally ill, and exterminate them. It looks to me like this
now
is
that's
just
called
a,
that's called eugenics.
Yes,
and
sir.
And they want to control health care so they can control populations, and they say they're going to ration it. It's just hellish what these people are doing.
Well, you know, it just looks to me, because getting into your mental health records is one of the hardest things to do in this country.
Well, exactly. But I mean, more than that, you think Nixon's bad with enemies list or Clinton or Bush. Imagine when the feds, and they can already do it with most systems, pull up everything about you, your bank account, you know, all your medical look what they did to Joe the plumber.
Bring right
it
on.
All, I mean, and it turned out they'd accessed, the feds had accessed the campaign, giving hundreds of times all his data. And none, and nobody got in trouble for that.
Oh, the only thing that happened was one lady quit.
Yeah. I hear you. I'm going to jump. I appreciate your call. Magnus, I don't have time to get to you. I'm sorry, and other callers. I'll be back live tomorrow. I'll be back live tomorrow, 11 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Rebroadcast starts now. One place, Infowars.com on the web. Don't forget the free podcast you can subscribe to. You know, I'm not perfect, but I'm doing the best I can, and I know none of you are perfect, and I appreciate all your support. I appreciate George Norrie having that historical show last night. We got the YouTube audio of that posted up on Infowars.com as well. I want to just thank God for the gifts I've been given to be able to make films, do radio shows, be able to analyze this stuff, be able to work this hard. These gifts I was given that I squandered for so long, I'm trying to put them to full use and really be more professional and go to the next level. God bless you all. We'll see you back in 70 seconds online at Infowars.com. Take care. Get out there and fight tyranny.